We're live, pal. It's episode 521, The Shining
Wizards. You recording?
I am, yes. Why you? Because you're going to type it up, and then it's going to come in, and you'll be like, we're live, and I missed the cue, so I just started recording while you're doing that.
That's all right. This is cool. Because Tombstone Jesus tonight, my man.
Tombstone Jesus. This is the realest thing. Ryan Van Dam was like, you guys got to get him on the show, and I was like, you know what? This dude looks super interesting. I did not know he was more than a wrestler and more than Jesus. He is Tombstone Jesus, wrestler, musical artist. He wears a hat, just one hat, not many hats, one hat. And he's joining us. He's going to close out the show tonight.
Yeah, he's the headlining act. He's the man in charge.
And we're going to talk about Elimination Chamber. We have a new WWE champion. We got AEW's gonna do fucking exploding barbed wire death matches.
We sure are.
I watched that Muda match from last week. Oof, we could talk about that if you want. I watched fucking Filthy Island, NXT, Ring of Honor, tons of news out of New Japan, Impact Wrestling, and it's all next here. Episode 521 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Kevin Sullivan, and if you're not listening to the podcast, it's the Shining Wizards. I'm going to come to your house, and I'm going to lay underneath the bed. And when you go to get in the bed tonight, if you're not listening to this podcast, I'll bite your leg.
What's up? Fuckers!
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls!
The fuck are you talking about?
You're a fucking loser!
Fuck the Shining Wizards!
Welcome everyone watching us live on the Face Space. Welcome to everyone listening live on rantiumradio.com. And welcome to everyone that downloads us each and every week. We, of course, are the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevin.
What's up, boys? How we doing today?
Shaking.
You know.
Oh, no.
I had this grandiose plan that I was going to watch all this wrestling today. Surprise, surprise. Snowed again. Over here in the mountains, in the woods, wherever you want to say I live. I got about 4 to 6 inches of fresh snow that I had to go out and shovel this afternoon. So I did not get to watch Riddle, Lashley, and John Morrison or the women's tag team match. But I did see all the Elimination Chambers. Not like I needed to watch, because I already know who the winners were going to be, because I stole Kevin's thunder this week.
Oh, no. We're doing this?
I went 5-0, baby!
Well, I had to share the wealth a little bit.
Please tell us about what happened this week in pay-per-view picks.
It's all look, I went 5-0. Tony, guess what? You're at the bottom, buddy. You're sitting there 12-4. You and Kevin with your 3-2 records. Kevin now has a blemish on his perfect record. He's 14-2. I sit in second place, 13-3. Tony, you're 12-4.
Fuck this game.
Yes, I like the fire. Don't worry. I don't think we'll pick any other pay-per-views until... Oh, no, that's not true, because March 7th will be
Yes.
AEW.
Whatever AEW is doing, yes.
But is Fastlane. Is Fastlane before that?
Fastlane is March 21st, I think.
Fucking A, dude. It just seems like we're doing an awful lot of WWE shit and nothing else. It's just so strange.
Well, I mean, look, that's what the pay-per-view picks usually are. Impact only runs like 4 years. Same with AEW.
Can I just interject for 1 second? You would not have been perfect this week had that fucking women's match continued the way it was supposed to. Didn't you pick, what's her name? Didn't you pick Lacey?
I did not. That was Kevin.
Oh, Kevin picked Lacey.
That's right.
Oh, sorry. But she's, my bad. It would have been perfect anyway.
She's got one in the oven, so they ain't going to let her wrestle.
Oh, but, God, I forgot about that.
But it's so strange that they kept that on the show up until last minute, and then they didn't even mention it. A little odd, no?
When I went to the Wikipedia page yesterday to make my picks, I did not see it on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, because there was a report that from our boy Dave Meltzer, where we get all our information from, including our fucking Japanese translations, by the way. Thank you very much. Whoever was nice enough to yell at us for not giving credit for somebody who translated something to Japanese. But I digress. Yeah, so the report was that Dave Meltzer said that that match wasn't going to happen, but it had not officially been reported by WWE at any point during the day, which is strangely, like, odd for them, you know? Usually, like, look, like, you know, they waited till very late to announce that Keith Lee wasn't going to be there to have that four-way match to replace him. Why couldn't they do something with the women as well? Look, 2.5-hour WWE pay-per-view, I'm on board. Over and done, no 6-hour bullshit, happy Tony. So just a little disappointed that we didn't get a women's title match, even though they announced it. Nothing?
Right. No, I didn't know you were such a women's wrestling fan. You did get a tag match, though. You got double the amount of women that would have been in a one-on-one matchup. How do you like that?
Yeah, but that match was already scheduled. So we only got 2/3 of the women that we were going to get.
Sure.
Think it'd been like that.
I guess so.
And the women have been getting screwed a lot in wrestling lately, so I was kind of surprised that Asuka wasn't going to make the card, but what do I know?
That's why they're all pregnant. They're getting screwed.
Hi-yo!
What do you mean they're getting screwed?
Ric Flair, he's smashing Lacey, and she got pregnant, so now she can't wrestle.
I meant Tony.
Grand scheme of things, Asuka's got a title defense. Match just disappears without a mention.
Well, it was mentioned. Lacey Evans is pregnant. So but the match is you can't do. Tony, I don't know if you know this. I'm pretty sure it's not a great idea to wrestle pregnant.
Okay, but then why didn't they stop this on Monday? Why didn't they change the card on Monday and they kept promoting it through the week?
Oh,
you would think
that.
At some point they were going to do a bait and switch, but they gave us absolutely nothing.
Well, they don't have to give us a switch all the time.
If
one person can't work, you just don't work.
Yeah, but they advertised it for a pay-per-view, Kev. It's not like this is some fucking random Monday Night Raw. This was a show that potentially people are paying $60
for. If they kept promoting it through, like, after Raw or whenever she announced that she was pregnant, then that's a little strange. But
yeah, that was my point. And the point
I didn't see them do that, so that's why I don't know.
The point overall, generally as well, is that I don't want to get into AEW right now, but they're fucking. They're putting fucking band-aids on broken arms over there, dude. I don't know what the fuck we're doing, but we'll get into that later. So yeah, I think overall right now, it was just kind of like, why the fuck wouldn't they just give us something? Even if it was just like a 10-minute match. They spent so much time in between catching us up on stories, which I know Matt loves so much. They could have fucking gave us another something in there to make up for it. Or at least just tell us it's not going to happen.
You could say that about every pay-per-view ever.
Matt, you were interrupting?
Card subject to change, sir.
That's right.
And you picked the weirdest things to get, like, were you really looking forward to the Asuka Lacey Evans match?
That would have been an extra point for me.
For the guy, Kevin, for the guy who hates the picks so much.
That's why I hate them, because WWE changes everything all the time.
But if we're forcing him to do it, I would be upset too if a potential pick was taken away.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Card subject to change, sir. You fucking texted
Riddle.
Us.
Why would you fucking pick Riddle? Why would you pick Riddle?
Because why have Bobby Lashley as the U.S. champion? Why would you pick Kevin Owens again?
Because Kevin Owens fucking rules, dude.
Your logic is flawless.
Fucking D. Bryan, baby. I don't know. I picked him because I have to get ahead. I have to catch up.
You need head?
I picked Keith Lee, but he was pulled last minute.
So you picked the other guy that was...
I wasn't picking fucking John Morrison.
Why wouldn't you pick Lashley?
Because it's time. It's time for him to... He's moving on up to the east side.
I don't care. People watching on Facebook right now are completely agreeing with me that they screwed Asuka over by not giving her a match on the show.
Oh, stop. Don't worry. She'll be in a 3-minute match on Raw. There you go.
I'm not watching Raw. I was watching the pay-per-view.
Oh, the outrage.
Sorry, WWE.
The outrage yesterday was through the roof.
For what?
I'm sorry, the what?
The outrage. It was through the roof.
It was through the what?
The roof.
One more time.
Roof.
All right.
Kevin's boy, The Miz, walked out the fucking champion.
Oh, I was going to wear his shirt. Son of a bitch, I forgot to wear his shirt.
Great decision. I love that call.
I thought that chamber match was... I got a lot of problems with that chamber match.
Which one?
The Raw one?
Really?
Sure. What's the fucking point of rules if fucking Black Diamond can just rip open the fucking cage and AJ Styles can just jump in the ring?
You mean Edward James Olmos?
Whatever his fucking name is. He fucking peeled that thing like it was a piece of cellophane on a photo. He just fucking ripped it off.
That's his gimmick, dude. He's a big fucking dude. He's a strong...
So you're telling me that he can do that, but Sheamus is just like praying the tombstone Jesus in the corner, but he's got a kick that knocks people out. He couldn't kick the door open if he wanted to.
Well, didn't almost get ejected from the match?
Sure, yes, but he ripped the thing off. AJ ran in.
There was a consequence for his action?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're putting people in pods, right?
They have strategy.
What strategy?
Sami Zayn didn't want to leave his pod. He wanted to wait for his time. AJ was stupid. He thought that these guys were down. He was going to get some easy pins, and it backfired. So he tried to break the rules, and he got fucked twice. And he not only didn't get a pin on either guy, but he lost his bodyguard. So fuck you, AJ.
What was his bodyguard going to do? He couldn't come in the Elimination Chamber.
Maybe he could have snuck in the door. It's no disqualifications.
Tony, that guy ain't sneaking in anywhere.
Nah, he's a fucking monster.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I did not like the Raw I don't like the Elimination Chamber.
I don't like that they pigeonhole everything into the pay-per-view. I've said that a million times.
But everything's like 5 minutes. It's just like kind of, I don't know, it's kind of boring until like everyone gets in there and then the juices start flowing.
Yeah, but you got to build it. It's like when you go for a 7-course meal. You start out with the appetizer, and maybe you get a little salad in between. Maybe you get your crock of French onion soup, you know. Then the fucking steak comes out. Then you got your potatoes, your mushrooms, your fucking cheddar cheese, your slab of bacon and onions and all that other good shit.
And your coronary.
There you go.
And then you get the little Italian ice to cleanse the palate.
Ooh, the palate cleanser.
The sorbet, if you will.
Yeah, I was annoyed at the Raw one.
Didn't like it.
I don't like the waiting around.
I don't like Sheamus coming out with his fucking sword like he's Excalibur now. What is the point?
Who?
Oh, the intros. Forget the intros. Take for fucking ever. Fucking
Claymore. Yeah. When Claymore stabs the fucking Excalibur sword through the stage, like, really?
Here's another thing I didn't get. Right, we opened the show with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Right. They get the four guys in, and then we find out who the other two are going to be. And then they show us another package about the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. No?
Yeah.
I thought my app, like, went back to the beginning.
That threw me off.
It's WWE, man. The one thing that was really bugging me are these fucking cuts before Impact. Like, when Cesaro was running back and forth, it was really obvious. Before he's laying the forearms in, they're cutting to another camera. Then they're cutting back. Then he runs to the other corner. Just before he makes contact, they cut to another view. It's like, fucking A, dude, just stay on one camera for more than fucking 2 seconds. Is it that hard?
And Thunderdome, baby.
Yeah, and then I think we've complained about this, the length of this podcast for almost 10 years. The camera with the zooming and the shaking, it's awful.
Yep.
But I liked the SmackDown Elimination Chamber a lot. I thought they did a really nice job there. I love the stuff with Roman Reigns right afterwards.
The hope spot with Daniel Bryan where he fucking catches him and goes into the fucking lock. Oh, man.
It was awesome. It was such a great story. Edge coming out of nowhere was great. They didn't play his fucking music. He just showed up, speared him. He pointed at the sign. Like, it was cool. He talked some shit to Roman Reigns. Like, that's cool.
And then the fireworks went off, and then they played his music.
At the end. That's okay. At the end, it's okay. When you play it, when you're going to, like, run in, that kind of gives it away, you know?
Yeah. I didn't like when he came back at the Rumble last year when they played it, when they had fireworks for him. Took it to surprise, but apparently a lot of people already knew about it.
That's the internet wrestling community, my friend. They have their finger on the pulse of everything.
No, I mean, the people who played the music. Like, oh, it's a surprise, but Edge is here, so we make sure we have fireworks for him.
Yeah, well, he's got to walk through Gorilla.
That's true.
Well, excuse me. That was a big
somebody's
burp.
All fucking loaded up on margaritas already.
It's just my first one. It's National Margarita Day. This podcast is brought to you by Cayman Jack Margarita. Not really, but I still got about a half a case of these left, so I got to drink.
Send us free shit. Cajun
maybe one day.
Yeah.
Cayman, not Cajun. Cayman.
Cajun Caymans, yes.
No, now that those cheap dirt bags of Twisted Tea, we just sent us a koozie.
A koozie and a keychain. Fuck them.
It's better
a hot
than
dog
nothing.
And a handshake. That's a hot dog and a handshake of the sponsorship world. Thanks for coming. Here's your fucking keychain.
I didn't see the three-way dance. What'd you guys think of it?
Riddle won. Boo.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. Riddle, for being an MMA guy, his strikes are a little weird to me. Like, he's almost like throwing karate, like open palm strikes. Like, I don't know. It's a little weird. I like me some Riddle. I think his striking game is odd. I'm fine with Riddle winning. Something different. It frees up Lashley for some other nonsense rather than just being the U.S. champ.
Yeah, but I guess that's like the biggest takeaway from it is that now we know that Lashley's moving on to other stuff.
And the match was what it was. It was fine. No real complaints. I mean, except for when MVP was talking shit to Riddle outside about like, who do you think you are, this and that. And then when Riddle grabs a crutch from him, he's like, okay, man, take it easy. Calm down. It's all right. Relax. And then Riddle fucking goes to town on Lashley and fucking wins with the, what does he call it? Bro Derek? Why does he call his finishing move Bro Derek?
I feel like it's always been that.
Bro.
I don't know. It's just a weird name. But yeah, huzzah. New champ. Matt called that one.
Yes.
Women's match. Tag team titles. Kev, you see this one?
Sort of. A little bit of it. Not all of it. I saw the part where Nia Jax threw Sasha Banks on Bianca Belair and they were just all just standing there for like 5 minutes waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, Nia's still not very good. There were a couple of times where she was standing there waiting for shit to happen and she just kind of had her hands up and she was like waddling and wiggling. I don't know if she was supposed to be selling or if she was supposed to be afraid. There were some good spots, some bad spots. Like there was really no hope spot with like either Bianca or Sasha getting a hot tag. Why did this guy come out with a fucking bottle of champagne to give champagne to Sasha?
Is that Reginald? Is that his name?
Yes.
He's Carmella's guy, though, isn't he? So, like, why is he out there for Sasha? Like, did I miss a story?
I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to help them win the tag titles. I don't know.
But why? Like, is he friends with them? Like, I thought Carmella was into it with Sasha, wasn't she?
Maybe they're continuing their storyline.
Oh, didn't Carmella fire him because he screwed up her title match?
You would know better than I would, Kev.
I really wouldn't, but
you know what, Kevin? I think that makes the most sense, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
And if anyone in the Facebook chat knows otherwise, please let us know.
100%.
I get all dizzy when I watch that.
So before the Raw elimination, we do get that weird backstage thing with MVP speaking to The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
And then we fast forward to something oddly familiar to what we talked about in the Patreon bonus show, Shelton Benjamin at HBK Superkick. They tried to replicate that with a little AJ Styles, Drew McIntyre, Claymore kick. And Drew is the champion. And then Bobby Lashley comes out and beats everything dog shit out of him. Now, I wasn't around when the Money in the Bank was first introduced. Was it always you cash in and then the referee checks on the other guy? Or was it you cash in and the referee just rings the bell?
This fucking stuck in my asshole. I hate right. that they do this. And it's not just this match. They do this shit all the time. Old school wrestling. You jump somebody before the fucking bell. The referee calls for the bell. Bing, bang, bang. We're off and running. What is this shit? Can you continue? Are you okay? Are you ready? Fuck that. What's the point of cashing in the fucking thing? If this is, are you all right? Can you? What if he says no? Then it defeats the whole fucking purpose of the briefcase.
It's been like that for a while now.
But it's so dumb, man. It's so dumb. This is
Like they waited, like when the Miz cashed in the first time, they waited for Randy Orton to get to his feet, and that was 10 years ago.
So dumb. So
even when Ziggler cashed in, same thing.
Yeah, I don't like. But when Edge cashed in on Cena that first time, that wasn't the case, right?
That was the first time. Yeah, it developed and evolved, and there's sometimes to the point where, like, I mean, people, you've seen people escape the cash in too, which also doesn't make sense. Like, oh, the ref never rang the bell, so I was able to get out of there.
So dumb. Why would you ruin a great storytelling line like that?
It's really not that great.
Well, I think you're going to get the crux of the story tonight on Raw. A lot of chirping is that MVP Miz conversation. People are speculating that it was that if Miz walked out champion, Lashley gets the first title shot. There's a lot of chirping that Miz isn't even going to make it to WrestleMania with the title. And it's looking like it might be Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre.
He's going to Mania as the champ because they're going to do a fucking unification title for title with Bad Bunny. It's going to be 24/7
what? WWE champion. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes,
no,
they
not.
Are, dude.
No,
Bad Bunny.
Not.
Bad Bunny was on SNL this past week from what I heard with that championship. How great would it be if he was on there with the fucking WWE championship?
Do people you still Tony, it's not like it's not like unifying like the Intercontinental and the European title. You're not unifying the world championship and a joke title. That's defended on the Michael Kay show. You're not doing it.
In fairness, they unified all the belts, including the hardcore belt.
Yeah, Tony, they did that when they got rid of the IC belt. Over, see, all right, so they went from hardcore and like European or hardcore and intercontinental. And then if you want to tell me that you can get away with unifying the intercontinental and the world title, I might be able to let that slide because that's your two top titles. So, but you're not unifying the 24/7 championship and the world championship.
Not common.
I first of all, I don't know which one of you two are dumber for this. First of all, Tony, you for even suggesting that this is going to ever happen in the history of wrestling. The Miz, the world champion, is going to wrestle Bad Bunny to unify the world championship and the 24. And then Kevin for arguing that it would ever happen.
I'm not arguing that it would ever happen. I'm arguing that it would never, ever happen in a million years.
Right, like Tony had like some inside source that this is a real possibility.
No, my bigger argument was not. I wasn't expecting him to go the route of unification, so that just threw me for a loop.
Okay,
There's no chance that Bad Bunny is fighting for the world title. Is what I'm saying. No
How
chance.
Many people have fought for world titles that didn't deserve it? How many people have won world titles that fought for world titles?
You can argue me David Arquette till you're blue in the face. It's David Arquette. Vince McMahon didn't do that.
Vince McMahon twice. Vince Russo.
Vince McMahon was a top heel in the company.
No, he not at that point.
In 99?
He beat Triple H. Triple H was the bad guy. Vince was trying to win his company back. He was
Vince won the world title from after winning the Rumble.
No, Vince won the world title from Triple H on Raw thanks to Steve Austin or on some show thanks to Steve Austin cheating for him.
All right, he's still a top guy. He wasn't the first time he wrestled.
Well, pretty close to it. I mean, what did he have? 6 matches under his belt?
Did Vince ever really wrestle though?
Yeah, Vince, there's your storytelling device. Vince McMahon was your storytelling device. He wasn't an actual competitor.
Neither's Bad Bunny.
Tony, I'm gonna make you a friendly bet, Tony. Just a bet between Matt and Tony.
Listen, I can't take your money, bro.
It's not money. There's no money involved. Just a friendly bet. February, when we're done with this show, and you go, you put your little old head on your little nasty, greasy pillow to go to sleep, and you wake up at whatever ungodly hour your old ass likes to wake up at, so you have your coffee and eat your English muffin, you're going to see the Miz is no longer the world champion.
Why, he lost tonight?
I think he loses the title tonight.
Tonight? Really? Really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
To Bobby Lashley.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Claymore cost fucking Bobby Lashley the match, and then we have a little Claymore fucking Lashley action.
Yeah, but you don't think it would be more... It would be a better story if it was over the title?
What if it was Lashley, Miz, and Claymore?
I don't want to... I hate three-way dances, man.
I know you do. Three-ways are fun, though.
I don't know.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Grand scheme of things, which title is less significant? The hardcore title, the 24/7 title?
They're the exact same title.
So then what's the difference between merging the hardcore title with and the 24/7 title with the world title?
Because they never merged the hardcore title with the world title. They merged it with the Intercontinental title, and then the Intercontinental title was merged with the world title.
The Intercontinental title had the hardcore title merged into it.
Oh, shut up.
It merged into it.
Not in the mood for this.
Then leave. Bye.
Maybe I will.
You're going to miss Tombstone Jesus.
God, Tony under a tombstone.
Wow. Wow, you guys are going to have some like couples counseling off air or something.
My immediate thought was that they could do the hotshot title tonight with The Miz, or they're just really planning on strapping the Rocket to Damian Priest. And maybe making Damian Priest the world champ at some point soon. But I'm kind of leaning towards Matt's thing now.
Prince of Pro suggested Damian Priest versus The Miz at Mania with Bad Bunny and John Morrison in the corners.
Yeah, there you go. I can see that happening 100%. And then strapping the Rocket to Damian Priest and putting the belt on him.
Now that makes sense. I like it. I like it a lot. Boy, what else? Are we missing anything else from this pay-per-view?
No. We got it covered? I think that there was only 5 matches.
Yes. Well, 6 if you count the pre-show match, which I really didn't.
No, we don't count that. It's on the pre-show.
Did you see how he lost, by the way? How John Morrison won?
Did he use Starship Pain?
Mustafa Ali interfered, or like his crew managed to save him from losing or some shit. And while they were out there celebrating, Morrison fucking stole the pin.
There you go.
Retribution still a thing?
Retribution, yeah, Mustafa. Why do they?
Mustafa.
His name is Mustafa. They call him Mustafa now. Like,
who does?
Probably to ethnicize it a little more.
Mustafa. I know a lot of people named Mustafa. I've never heard anybody correct me and say call me Mustafa.
Well, I think you're accentuating it a little bit more than they. I agree. I know what you're saying, Tony, 100%. But I think it may be more to like to ethnicize it and to put it a little more. Like different characterization on it, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's this like really legit, like outsider type person. So they just give him a really accentuated name.
Fair enough, but then his fucking compatriots are like T-Bone and Ham-Bone and whatever the fuck their names. All right,
well, Tony, that's a whole different conversation for another day. Freaking Ice Pop and fucking Padlock.
Yeah, they're bad.
How do we rate this thing? What are you giving this thing?
I'd give it a thumbs up. I'd say like a B. I really didn't like I thought the Raw Chamber took a while to get going. I did think in the SmackDown Elimination Chamber at one point, it looked like a Ring of Honor show from 15 years ago when it was Cesaro, Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan, and Kevin Owens. I thought that was really fucking cool.
And I think for me, what put the SmackDown one over the top was the little stories in between. Like when Sami Zayn gets in and he's telling Kevin Owens, they don't care about us, you and me, this and that. And Owens is like, all right. And he fucking waffles him. Great shit.
I think this was a waste of the Daniel Bryan thing.
I think you're right. That's why I wasn't expecting him to win. I figured maybe just Kevin Owens, he gets one final shot and then blows it, and that's it for Kevin Owens.
I thought that for this was the perfect opportunity, unless they really have like maybe other plans for him. But I picked Cesaro because it's the second show before Mania. No one really cares too much. And this might be like a backhanded insult towards Cesaro, but I don't really mean it that way. This is like the perfect time to showcase him. Like, have him go crazy, have him win. No chance against Roman Reigns, but have him put up a fight against him too, and just have him lose. You're not doing it. You clearly have no long-term plans for him. This is the perfect show to do that with. And I just thought that they missed that opportunity and they kind of wasted it, because Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns is like, that has like potential, like maybe post-Mania, like 3 or 4 month run to it. So I just felt like giving it to us right then and there. And again, Daniel Bryan doesn't really lose a whole lot of steam because he just went through an Elimination Chamber match. And he was one of the first two guys, so he doesn't lose a whole lot. But I just thought this was a missed opportunity to showcase Cesaro a little bit more.
No, you're right. I think you're right. Cesaro definitely came with his working boots on. He was all over the fucking
place. Dude, he packs those boots everywhere he goes, man. He sleeps in those working boots, baby.
Just unbelievable. The displays of strength when he started fucking... Who was he throwing into the cage? Was it fucking... was it Corbin that he was whipping back and forth? Fucking just good shit. And there was a lot of... Like, it was a huge swelling for him on social media, especially on Twitter. Like, people were going bananas that they wanted Cesaro to win this thing.
Yeah, like Mick Foley, I think, tweeted something out about it.
Bang, bang.
I think a lot... Look, I think it's very... Similar to when he debuted on the main roster and he won the U.S. title?
Yes.
I want to say.
One of them. Maybe it was the hardcore title, Matt.
No, I think it was his first major title victory and people were like super excited about it because he's really fucking good. Yeah, so,
the textbook definition of start and stop.
If I had lost that because Cesaro had won the match, I would have been okay with that. I think there's a... Here's... phrase I use on the Wednesday night show. I think there's a lot of layers to this story, though. If, like Daniel Bryan, he had his chance and he lost in 4 minutes, right? Let's say we don't even get that match at Fastlane. It's all building to Edge and Roman Reigns. Let's say Fastlane. Edge beats Roman Reigns. Daniel Bryan says, give me a fair shot. Now you get Edge-Daniel Bryan match. I'm not against that.
I'm not against it.
A lot of spoons in the porridge. A lot of things. Look, the SmackDown side is beautiful. I don't know what the fuck goes on Raw.
I just don't trust their continuity at all. So, like, when you look at each one of these network shows, I'm not even calling them pay-per-views anymore because when Raw is longer than a pay-per-view, it's not a pay-per-view. It's just not. Sorry, it pisses me off. I understand Tony's point. Beautiful. It only takes up 2 hours of my time. In and out. Great. But when your weekly televised show is longer than your pay-per-view, you're not giving me a pay-per-view. So this is why I kind of expect every now and then for them to throw something a little different our way, which is why I was hoping. And like at the end of the day, Matt, like tonight, if The Miz loses his championship tonight, does last night even matter worth a shit at all? No, it really doesn't. If you're immediately putting... it might give you a good TV show, which is fine. But if you're immediately switching your direction after a pay-per-view the next night, does the tree even make a sound if it falls in the porridge or whatever you want to fucking say?
Fair enough. Yeah. And I think the term pay-per-view, I think we can throw that out the window because I don't think people are buying.
Yeah.
I think they're just super shows, special shows.
Yeah, network specials.
Network specials. Kevin, fun fact about your boy, The Miz. He's the first...
Did he tweet me yet? Did he tweet me thank you?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. He's the first two-time WWE Grand Slam champion.
Oh, of course.
He's the modern world champion, the IC champion, the US champion, and the modern tag team champions.
I keep his stat sheet under my pillow at night.
Nice. What do you do with all the Major Brother stuff?
Oh, that's at the foot of the bed.
Oh, you don't worry about kicking it off?
No. They can handle it.
That's where Nelly sleeps. It makes my nights very aggravating.
Nelly?
She sleeps at my feet, and she's a little portly. And I know that whole idea, like if a cat falls, it's going to land on his feet. But I don't know, man. I don't trust her.
Well, not if you kick her.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I do sleep like a maniac. I toss and turn a lot. I have some sleeping issues. It's been much better since I got a purple mattress. But I still toss and turn, and I don't want to like accidentally kick her off. So I'm very aware of when she is by my feet. So I sometimes will like half wake up and shimmy to turn over so I don't knock her off the bed.
Fuck, it's gotta be rough.
Nothing would make me happier than to hear a thump in the middle of the night. I'd be like, hi, you fucking idiot. Get off the bed.
Oh, that's not nice. You leave Nelly alone.
Tony, what are you doing in Matt's bedroom at night where you would hear this thump?
I'm trying to make sure his cat doesn't fall off the bed.
Yeah, you and that fucking hand job, Francis Wright, hanging out in my attic. I hope you both get fucking carbon monoxide poisoning and die.
It's asbestos.
Fucking dickheads.
That's the cat guardian. Tony's the cat guardian.
We learned during the pay-per-view or the show. I don't even know why.
All right, yeah. We can call it the pay-per-view. Right. I don't care.
That the first pay-per-view of the Peacock era will be Fastlane.
Peacock
on March 21st. So I think March 18th is the end date for the network?
I think so, which is great. 3 weeks until I don't have to pay for this shit anymore. Huzzah.
Mm. Yeah, but what are you paying for? You don't pay for that. You pay so you can watch Bruno fucking hug somebody for 45 minutes, and then you go in your bathroom and you get yourself excited.
Matt, I would be thrilled if I didn't have to pay for Bruno Sammartino to bear hug someone anymore.
Look, different strokes for different folks, man. You're probably the only one that's searching for Zack Ryder matches.
No, I'm sure Zack is too.
You think so?
What? Yeah. Freaking Hardy Boys symbol.
That is the Hardy Boys.
Dun, 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 dun. My wife is rewatching Ink Masters. Don't ask me why. It's a tattoo show.
I should have guessed that.
But every time they go in the house to get somebody for the elimination, the fucking Hardy Boys theme song plays.
Because it's like
it was on Spike.
But it's like domain music, isn't it?
Yeah, like hard. You can hear hardcore Holly's music play on like every commercial. Like, ever.
Oh, I just get a kick out of it. She was watching it last night, and I was up here packing T-shirts and shit. I went downstairs and sat down. I was like, it's the Hardy Boys theme song.
There's, like, a commercial for HelloFresh, and right before it starts, it's like, how do you like me now? How do you like me now? Whole thing sucked.
So that's Elimination Chamber. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I didn't enjoy the Raw side. I do have to go back and watch the women's tag match. And no, I don't. What about the Triple Threat? Should I check out the Triple Threat?
For shits and giggles. I think it's only like 10 minutes long. It's inoffensive. I wouldn't waste your time on the women's tag match, though.
The base holes?
Oh, Bianca Belair smacked her on the ass. And she's like, did she just do that? No, she didn't. No, she didn't. And Bianca gets up on the ropes and she starts smacking her ass at her. It's a whole lot of ass smacking in the match. So if ass smacking's your thing, you should check it out.
All right.
I'm not going
ass smacking. Ass smacking is my thing.
Not
so
going
I might
to
have
the,
to go back and watch that.
Not going to the WWE network for my ass smacking.
It's a very good point, Matt.
Just gonna put that out there.
Very good.
Just own.
I do. Yes. The idea of Shayna and Nia against Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. I'm all in on this Raquel Gonzalez chick.
I can dig that.
All I watched NXT because Thursday was a snow day for me. So I usually don't get to, if I get to NXT, I won't get to it till the weekend. So I found out a couple things. Hulu only plays a 1 hour replay of NXT.
A Rhea Ripley.
Beat me to it, you fuck.
They only play a 1 hour replay because that's what they're contracted for. And Hulu does not have the power to cut certain things. So WWE cuts whatever out. And that's why it's dropped down to an hour. But I did watch the hour because I think they cut out like a Shane Strickland match.
Wait, so you don't have the network at all?
I do, but Thursday afternoon, the latest episode of the NXT Wednesday night show was not available.
Oh, I'd wait it out. I think it's available on Friday.
Oh, well, I was catching up on wrestling. So I wasn't going to wait because I had to work Friday.
Fair enough.
And I was home, so I said, I'll watch the NXT. The Kyle O'Reilly shit, I fucking was just giggling hysterically at fucking wrestling fans.
I thought it was real.
Of course you do. You're a fucking mark. You're all a bunch of marks. Everyone listening to this podcast, you marks. Oh, don't believe everything you read on the internet, you
God,
fucking
what are
nerds.
You, freaking Meltzer? What are you, Meltzer over here calling us marks? Who do you think you are?
I just said I'm a mark.
All right.
I just don't believe everything I read on the fucking Twitter.
Well, what did you read on the Twitter?
Kyle O'Reilly had a seizure. Kyle O'Reilly had a seizure. Seizure, seizure. I'm like, I'm gonna. You know what? I'm going to wait and see what happened here.
Isn't Kyle O'Reilly also diabetic and have breathing problems?
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
So that's not a stretch to think that maybe he had a serious incident.
I just don't if it's not real, what? Like, I didn't see the entire fallout from it. Like, I don't know if they talked about it on like The Bump or whatever those fucking stupid shows are they do. So if there's no follow up on it at all, then why do it? Like, what's the point of doing it? It's not on TV. It's after TV.
Right. Well, because they have all those social media platforms where they put bonus content up. Now,
okay.
If this made it, so then they if they filmed this to have it be a bonus content, and then all this shit happened, and they and then Kyle O'Reilly had to come out and say, like, I'm fine, it's nothing serious. And then they decided not to play it. That's in their camp, but
like, it's one thing. Like, remember, like, the Owen Hart Shawn Michaels thing, where, like, Shawn Michaels just, like, collapsed in the ring.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That was, like, part of the show. That was yes. There's a reason for that. This I don't get.
Well, around that same time as the Shawn Michaels Owen Hart thing, do you remember when 123 Kid fucking ate it hard in the ring and he started convulsing and they went to commercial?
No,
no.
Well, you guys don't remember that? He started twitching, convulsing, and like they were like Vince just started like something's going on, and then he just cut to commercial. When they came back, didn't mention a thing about it. But yeah, Sean Waltman started fucking twitching out in the ring. You guys don't remember this? This was on a Monday Night Raw.
I'm gonna. Well, they probably had the luxury where they could stop tape. This probably wasn't a live Raw, was it?
No, the one with Sean Waltman, I believe it was. Yeah.
All right.
So he had taken that brainbuster on the steps, and he was just selling to sell the severity of the injury, because they're still playing up that the Undisputed Era has exploded.
Yeah. I mean, a brainbuster on the steps should be enough to cause serious injury. To throw the seizure aspect into it just seems a bit...
Apparently, he was just twitching, like, overselling. He wasn't, like, pretending to have a seizure.
Oh, and then did people just run away with it and, like, say that they
like,
had?
They let, like, a handful of fans into the tapings down there.
Okay, so the WWE never specifically said that Kyle O'Reilly suffered a seizure.
Some fucking, you know, wrestling fan 465 who has 12 followers was like, oh, my God, Kyle O'Reilly had a seizure. And those 12 followers fucking retweeted it. And then nobody, you know, looks to a reputable source for information, and they just go, best which is Kyle O'Reilly.
I would have to change my Twitter handle now, Matt. Thanks.
Sorry, wrestling babe 4252.
God.
between that and the... Dude, people take wrestling way too seriously. The anger about The Miz cashing in last night is hysterical.
Did you... To double back real quick on the Kyle O'Reilly thing, were you angry when that guy from Pro Wrestling Sheet kind of said it's all part of the story, and then people got upset at him for exposing
the story?
I guess.
To telling us that he really wasn't in any danger, and it was just a... I don't know, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
You can't win, man.
Clearly. I thought the tag match was great, and I thought the stuff with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly is going to be awesome. And I haven't watched NXT in a long time. I watched TakeOver last week and then the show. And you can see Kyle O'Reilly breaking apart from the Undisputed Era. He has just such a different look. And Kev, me and you were at that final battle where he won the ROH title from Adam Cole.
That's right. I remember it very fondly.
I think that was the one time we got really drunk, and then maybe we saw Dave LaGreca and Carrie Silkin.
I don't remember that. I don't remember it.
We were at a couple final battles where we saw the world title change hands.
I remember the Dalton Castle one.
Yeah.
I don't remember Kyle O'Reilly beating Adam Cole at all.
He did. He did, my friend. We were there for that.
I remember seeing Carrie Silkin, though, because we took a picture with him.
We did. We did. Carrie Silkin. Fantastic man. Tony, did you find what you were looking for?
No, it's really hard to find 123 Kid and seizures when all I'm getting is videos of children having seizures. It's not very promising. So I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Did you try Sean Waltman?
Nope. Didn't work.
Lightning Kid.
Sean Waltman injury seizures is coming up when he ripped his anus open. It's going to take a little deeper of a dig.
Yeah.
So he originated the my hole, I guess.
My hole. My big ripped stretched hole, I guess.
Yikes. God. Wolf.
Get at it.
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys get to see any of this AEW Women's Eliminator stuff on YouTube?
Nothing on YouTube, just the highlights that they showed on AEW.
Okay.
I want your thoughts. Like, I heard what you said Wednesday on the show, on the Dynamite show. But please, if you can, in a nutshell, what was your takeaway from it?
Man, it's I kind of had the same feeling when I watched it Tuesday night. I got the same feeling Tuesday night as this afternoon when I finished watching that Pro Wrestling Noah show. I have no fucking idea what's going on. I don't know any of these characters. they took, you know, granted, the Pro Wrestling Noah did have English commentary, but it sounded like some Australian dude and some other dude I couldn't understand. They didn't really tell the story well. I think they could have done a better job of introducing us to each participant. Excalibur sounded like the Micro Machine guy who was just throwing fucking statistics out, and I didn't know what any of them meant. I don't know what the Ice Ribbon Championship is. Is it the equivalent of the 24/7 championship, or is it the highest title in said promotion? I didn't mind the first match. I don't like Emi Sakura. Aja Khan is great. I laughed when she... Not like the match was great. Hold on, Tony. Not like the match was great. She's great. Like, her legacy is great. Her, like, having trouble getting in the ring was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then she kicked that girl really hard in the stomach, and I just could not stop laughing.
What are the odds we get a Nia Jax, Aja Kong match soon?
That would be the finals of the tournament, and that would be... You might as well just fucking throw the AEW women's title in the garbage. You might call Medusa up and just have her throw it in the ocean.
I wish they brought back Raw Underground for one thing, it would be for me to watch Aja Kong and Nia Jax fight in a pit.
It would not be good.
Ah, pit fighting with Aja Kong for the Ice Ribbon Tokyo Championship?
Here's what I don't understand.
All right.
All this, the Japanese side is all taped. So why wouldn't you just make it good? Like, if there's a blown spot, you can just...
Oh, Matt.
You can just do it again, right?
I don't know. Maybe just because it's taped, maybe time isn't a luxury. I'm just guessing, because maybe that wherever they taped that silly, that basement warehouse building, they only have it for so long. I don't know.
I'll watch again tonight. This is happening now on some platform. That's another AEW's, like... If you really want to throw up the I don't give a fuck about the women's division flag, the Japanese side last week was on YouTube. Thunder Rosa,
the Ice Ribbon.
Thunder Rosa versus Legit Layla was 2 weeks ago on Dynamite. Serena Di Brio was this week, or last week, excuse me.
I thought you said Serena Di Brio. Like, it's a different person.
Thunder Rosa Rio quarterfinal is going to be free on the Bleacher Report app on Sunday.
In other words, we don't give a fuck if you can't find this match, because we don't give a fuck about it either.
Taya and Nyla, yeah, plus Britt Baker and Anna Jay are going to air on Dynamite.
Oh,
well, Anna Jay, not so much. Right?
Right. Well, that's changed now. They're putting in what's her name?
Maka. Ice Ribbon.
Something. So she's Thunder Rosa's pupil. She's like, what the fuck's her name?
Holodead?
No.
No, I forget what her name is. Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't Holodead a thing? She's a real person.
Yeah, Holodead's a thing.
What is she? What?
Maddie Renkowski.
Ooh.
Nice Polish girl.
What else? All the other Japanese, the two Japanese matches, Sakazaki and Sakura, and Mizunami and Kong is happening now on YouTube.
Oh, we should have live streamed that. If we didn't have Tombstone Jesus on tonight, I would have suggested that. That would be interesting.
It's just like, it's all over the fucking place, man.
I don't necessarily like blame them for that. There's got to be some sort of weird algorithm where they get views and hits that can bolster their social media presence or their online presence, where like, if you watch it, fine, but it won't hurt us if you don't, or some weird convoluted function like that, where like, hey, so and so many people checked us out on Bleacher Report. We were the highest rated thing on Bleacher Report that week, or some bullshit like that.
Tony Khan took to Twitter after this announcement, and it looked like he was trying to do that. He says, with Bleacher Report's 9.4 million Twitters and 14.8 million Instagram followers, it's a huge opportunity to introduce AEW and our great wrestlers to new fans by streaming such a high-stake bout between two of the best as part of a free Sunday special.
That is what you call spinning something to a positive light. And that's called being great at PR.
That's that one of those things, like, are you trying to convince the fans or yourself?
Yeah.
Because look, honestly, I don't ever go on. I have the Bleacher Report Live app because that's what the AEW pay-per-views are on. I don't ever go on the app unless I'm going to watch AEW. I know they do like soccer and shits on there. I guess.
That's funny, Matt. I actually have Bleacher Report open right now just for the results for the shows. Because they have like the results and analysis right. and stuff. They but do a that, pretty good job.
No, the website's great, but BR Live is a separate.
Right.
And that's the app I have on my phone. So it's like.
I remember I kept trying to find the last, what was it, the last pay-per-view I kept trying to watch on Fight and I couldn't find it because it was on Bleacher Report. It's like, where's this pay-per-view? What are they doing here? Why isn't it available right now? It's midnight. Because you're on the run. It's not on Disney Plus, Kevin. That's why.
And we talked about it Wednesday night. Like, there was a bunch of just useless segments on Dynamite where you could have put a women's match in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a throwaway Orange Cassidy match. There
you
was
mean a second women's match. They had a women's match.
Yeah, you could have put a second one on there. Yeah. Instead of
like Thunder Rosa, maybe?
Well, Thunder Rosa's in the next round. She's facing the winner of Rio and Serena Deeb. Tony, how do you feel about Serena Deeb defending a title of a company that nobody gives a shit about anymore?
Can I go back to my thoughts on Japan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I kind of took over that conversation. I'm sorry.
A little bit, but that's okay. I thought exactly the opposite of everything you thought, and I fucking hated the show. I thought the Sakazaki match, the opening match, was complete dog shit.
Oh.
They don't know how to put holds on. They don't know how to do moves. They're fucking just, like, the work was just absolute nonsense. Aja Kong either is the smartest or the dumbest fucking person in this tournament. She's either really smart because she's playing a role where she doesn't give a fuck and another championship would mean nothing to her, or she's just fucking that beat up and just laughed at everything and couldn't care less. And I felt bad for her opponent because she showed some signs where she looked like she could really work, but she had to fucking lay down for this slob. Emi Sakura with her match with Venny was fucking unreal. Emi had her fucking boots on for this thing, dude. I don't know what you were watching. That was the Emi I wish we had in AEW for the past year and a half, to be honest with you.
Let me go
back. Go ahead.
Let me go back. I didn't hate the match. I just hate Emi Sakura. I really liked Venny. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just want to clear that
up. All right. Look, Venny, we get the story. I understand. I actually had to dig to find out what the thing was because when you're calling a single person they, sorry, you fucking lost me. Because now all I'm thinking is you're talking about both people in the ring instead of just one. If you have to fucking use a weird pronoun, just call her or him or whatever by his name. What's the problem?
Wait, what?
Just say Venny. Venny's like a guy that became a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't realize that fucking, what's his name? Excalibur kept calling him they or her they?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? What? I was losing my fucking mind. His commentary was bad enough as it was. And then he's fucking using a pronoun that talks about two or more people.
I thought the referee was a man, but Scotch.
Freddy!
Tommy.
Freddy was a man. Freddy's a woman.
Tommy's a man. Yes.
Tommy was the drizzling dog shits of a referee. Holy. You know what? This is perfect. Aja Kong, the way she was in her match, was the way 80% of the show was. Nobody gave a fuck about it. What did they do? Oh, we'll put up a big AEW banner and everybody will think it's AEW and everybody will think it's wonderful. Look. I like Maki Ito. This shit is not working in the AEW tournament. There was way too much stopping in that match, telling stories. And if you're trying to say, like, we're bringing in the best for the AEW women's division, this was a fucking fail. This was an epic fail. Like I said, that third match, I was okay with. The fucking first match and final match, shit. That match with Emmy, she had her fucking boots on. That Venny is talented, but Excalibur was just fucking incorrigible on this thing. And I don't want to hate it, but I don't understand what AEW is doing. It can't be that hard to figure shit out for the women. Look, you said Anna Jay gets replaced. Aren't there like 10 other women on the AEW roster that could have taken that place instead of somebody that Thunder Rose is training, which I'm sure she's fine, but you got a fucking gaggle of women sitting around doing nothing. You can't plug one of them into the women's tournament?
Who do you want to plug in?
What about Penelope Ford? Is she pregnant? Can she not work? Where's Swole? What about fucking Reba? Why can't we throw any of these people in?
What's Big Swole, what's the point of putting her in a match where she's probably going to lose?
Who gives a shit? Fucking Serena Deeb lost, and she's like the star of the division. Come on, dude, you're laughing, but you know it's the case. You know it's the case. This is fucking bad. You would think, like, they can't fuck this up any more than they have. Let's fucking go to Bleacher Report. Fuck this, dude. And I don't want to hate the women's division. I'm tired of hating on AEW every week. Look at me in the eyes if you're watching on Facebook. I'm really tired of hating on AEW. I want them to succeed. I want this women's division to be what it can be. But fucking jumping Jehoshaphats, this was fucking awful.
Well, they didn't do us any favors Wednesday night, because it was not a very good show.
I enjoyed the match between Serena and Riho.
Yes, Riho looked great. Both girls looked great. It was probably Rio's best showing.
And Riho should have fucking lost. Sorry, she should have lost. Don't give a fuck about Riho. Don't care about her. You've got huge stars coming up in that division, and you're going to fucking push Riho back to the moon? For what?
Yeah, well, Tony, I'm not going to... I will text you on the side.
No, don't. Please don't spoil anything for me. Don't okay. spoil. I want to get angry for getting angry. I don't want to get angry now.
Oh, trust me. You're going to get real angry. What do you think of Dynamite Wednesday night? Because it wasn't their best show. It was really not a great show.
Apparently, we have a lot of people that think I'm crazy to say that Jon Moxley didn't look like he's been in the best shape.
You picked the weirdest shit.
Sorry. I meant to mention this 2 weeks ago. He came out. He was pale. He was hairy. He looked sickly. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with him?
It's the
he
fucking winter.
A month ago.
It's the winter. It's a pandemic, and he's got a pregnant wife at home. What do you want him to do?
Then fucking get in some reps, dude. If she's knocked up, you know, what are you going to fucking ride the speed bump every day?
He looks exactly the same to me.
I don't think so. See, this is my keen eye.
You don't think that he looks the same to me. When I see him on TV, I go, that's Jon Moxley.
Well, of course you say it's Jon Moxley, but I always wind up saying, oh, what happened to Jon Moxley?
Yeah, well, you do the same thing about fucking Jericho, too. You go, Jericho's a fucking slob. Look at fat Jericho.
When it comes out that Jericho's got some sort of fucking drinking problem, then you fucking call me. I'm telling you, Jericho's in bad shape, dude. And I'm not the only one that says it. I'm not dirt sheet Tony coming up with this.
It sounds like it. No, this is fucking Facebook group, Tony. You're going in all those Facebook groups to get all fucking angry about something. With all your Jim Cornette disciples, you fucking shit.
Listen, and I've shit on Cornette plenty of times. I'm not like Tony, the Jim Cornette lover over here. Although I might be a golden lover for Kota Ibushi. Definitely not a Jim Cornette lover. But look, I can't fault the guy if he makes some good points. But yes, he also makes some very awful, shitty fucking dog shit points. Oh, why did I say shit twice? I don't know. Did Kevin quit the show? Like,
no, he'll be back. He'll be back. Kevin will be back.
Okay.
He had to go take care of his pops.
Okay, I didn't know if I missed something or if he was just annoyed. Like,
no, you're good. You're good. He sent us text messages. You're good.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff they did Wednesday night, the Adam Page, Matt Hardy stuff was kind of weird. I don't like, I know it's...
I signed the paper. Oh, well, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to agree to it. Oh, look, my boy's in the mascot thing. Hey, how about $3,700 to beat him up? What the fuck are they doing with Matt Hardy, dude? What are they doing with him? I'm going to wrestle you for 3 months' salary. What are we fucking buying engagement rings now? I hate Steven Singer. You need the fucking money, Matt? Really?
It's a rough... Look, everything can't be wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. There has to be some kind of entertainment, comedy. But yeah, I don't like this very much at all. And I know you don't like TH2.
Nope. Nope, and I also didn't like seeing them on fucking Being the Elite this week either.
I didn't see Being the Elite yet.
Don't. It's a very short episode this week. The only real good stuff that I enjoyed was the stuff with the Dark Order. Very funny stuff. A little over the top, like it was almost like uncomfortable, but it wound up coming off like very funny and pretty entertaining. So there's that.
What I did not find funny nor entertaining was Sting taking a fucking rumor is that he was wearing like some heavy duty protective gear underneath his outfit.
All right. My question is why have we done this for fucking 17 weeks and now he takes a powerbomb? Why?
I don't know.
Would he put down the baseball bat when he's got nobody protected him and it's 3-on-1? Why does Brian Cage have to put out a fucking cigarette on everybody he power bombs? You're trying to destroy Sting. Just fucking power bomb him and get it over with if you're going to fucking do it. You know what his shirt stands for?
Get my shit in.
Yeah. They should have a shirt that says WMAF. Wipe my ass, fucko.
That's the new Shining Wizards Tony shirt.
Wipe my ass. I had to think about that. And that could, that actually stands for white male Asian female on the fucking 4chan, in case you didn't know.
You're such a ghoul. Well, this Orange Cassidy match, this fucking Darby, this Taz bullshit, and Sting, and even the Eddie Kingston promo. You could have taken all that and put in a fucking women's match for this tournament that I'm supposed to think is a big fucking deal, but you're putting it on goddamn Neptune, and I don't know how to get the fucking reception to watch the goddamn thing.
It's really stupid. I don't. It's like they're purposely trying to bury the women's division by doing this nonsense.
How did you feel about Jim Ross calling Kenny Omega the WWE champion?
He's a fucking idiot. It goes back. All right. Look, I watched the Proud and Powerful Young Bucks match. I thought the match was fine. There were a couple spots here and there. It was kind of like okay, but once they got rolling, everything seemed like to be moving along, and everything was fine with that. But when the fucking, when the announcers are going, oh, these four guys can go and they're so impressive. That's not the story you're trying to tell. They're having an athletic competition. They're not trying to impress you. Why not just say, look at these guys. They're a great team. They're smooth. They tried pulling a fast one. It didn't work. Fucking call it for what it is. Stop giving me inside information. Just call the fucking match. Just call the match. And fucking Inner Circle, 17 guys got to come out with these two. I'm done with it, dude. I'm done with the Inner Circle shit. I'm done with the fucking six mans. Fucking Eddie Kingston, I agree. He deserves better. Butcher and Blade in these six-man matches, I'm fucking done with them, dude. I'm just done with them.
How did you feel about the baby announcement?
Oh, it was... I cannot wait. I hope Cody gets fucking triple shoulder surgery and he heals within 3 days, because I cannot wait for this fucking match in 2 weeks with Jade Cargill and fucking Ember Moon or whoever the fuck Cody's partner is. What's it? Red Velvet.
Red Velvet.
Sorry. I can't wait. The fucking, why the baby announcement? Why is Kenny Omega in a school reading the Young Bucks book? Like, what was the impetus behind this? Like, is Kenny like want to be a school teacher now? Like, I didn't get it. Some of it was funny. I'll give him credit. When the kid goes, are they in love or whatever he said? He goes, well, I don't know. What do you think? Look at this picture. All right. I was fucking laughing at that. The shit with Michael Nakazawa where they beat him up at the end. Funny. But why are we here? What was the point of this? Was this supposed to be like for goodwill? Because he was the champ? Like,
he's the champ. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I think it was supposed to be like tongue-in-cheek goofiness.
I mean, look, I laughed.
Did you cry?
Was it the greatest? No. Could we have gotten a women's match in there? Sure. I don't have to go to Bleacher. They should have put that on Bleacher Report. Go watch Kenny fucking teach school kids on fucking Bleacher Report Live. Why not?
I like the FTR versus the Seidel's match. I don't know.
Where did this other Seidel brother come from?
He's been around, apparently. He's been worked at Dragon Gate Japan. He's been around.
Dragon Gate Japan? Dragon Gate.
But my problem was the end of the match. When these two guys are fumbling for this fucking bag with the scissors in it, just fucking gimmick the goddamn bag.
Yeah.
It was annoying.
No, there were a lot of spots in that match, too, where they were on top of each other. And there was one spot, too, going back in the tag title match where Nick was being pinned and Matt had to dive over the referee. Is that the referee everybody complains about, by the way?
Rick Knox? Yes.
Yes. That guy is out of position all the fucking time. Like, I know the referee's not supposed to be in the way, but there's times where you got to be on top of that shit. Like, he's counting pinfalls, like, looking at people's assholes. It's like, come on, dude, spin around, get in the fucking position, move a little bit. You never seen fucking Earl Hebner dragging ass as old and as out of shape as he got. You know what I'm saying? As much as I hate the 1-2, oops, at least he fucking moved and got in position.
Cody's announced on commentary that there's going to be a ladder match at the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Six-way ladder match to determine the next NXT TNT championship challenger.
I think he's in a Jim Ross.
So Cody, Scorpio Sky, and Penta El Cierro Meda are the announced participants so far. Lance Archer and Phoenix are going to have a one-on-one match this Wednesday night. Winner gets in.
Can I ask you this?
You can ask me whatever you want,
buddy.
Why
does Penta automatically get a spot, but his brother Phoenix wrestles in main events every week, and he's got to earn his way in with a match against Lance Archer? What? Why?
Why
doesn't Penta have to wrestle to get in? Let him wrestle Lance Archer.
Penta's been hurt. You don't need him coming back and having
Lance Archer. Why does he get a fucking automatic buy into this thing? Why does Cody get a buy into this thing for that matter?
I mean, you know why Cody
should have
gets
to beat Shaq to get into this thing.
Ooh.
That's what he should have to do. And if he loses, Jade Cargill gets his spot.
Whoa, intergender. You're going intergender already?
You know what? She's the fucking best thing on that show, dude. She's going to be a fucking star.
Really?
She's going to be a star. I don't know who's in charge of NXT, but they got to sign her soon. I'm telling you.
This week, Hangman Page takes on Cassidy. There's a women's match. Team Taz takes on the Varsity Blondes. Jake Hager, Brandon Cutler. 2 weeks is your Cody Shaq match. Also, Tully Blanchard's going to wrestle.
He's not really going
to
wrestle.
He's teaming with FTR to wrestle the Jurassic Express. And he's gonna beat the ever-living dog shit out of Marco Stunt.
That's what he's there for.
Exactly.
I'm so done with Marco Stunt, too, dude. I'm sorry. I'm done with him. I know people love him. But he's like Orange Cassidy, go away to me. Like, I'm done with him. Fucking done with him.
But I think
I'm done with him.
I get it.
I'm surprised he can run as fast as he does with the set of balls he's carrying on him. Seriously. Little fucker. Look, go back to singing. You know what you do? Do fucking Marco Idol in the back and have people sing with you. That's what I would do if I was him. Oh, by the way, on Being the Elite this week, they rewarded Brandon Cutler for helping them with a match against Jack Swagger. Yes, Jack Swagger. I don't know. There's radio silence now.
I mean, he was or is or.
Yep.
But I think the biggest news, Tony, to take away from AEW Dynamite.
Oh, wait. Luchasaurus got a new mask.
Yes. They cut his horns off. How dare they?
I know. Fuck him. I mean, fuck them. He got a new mask, so.
At Revolution, Kenny Omega is going to defend his AEW championship against Jon Moxley in an exploding barbed wire death match. My co-hosts on Wednesday night, I don't think we're too familiar with what a barbed wire exploding death match is. And I don't think I did him any justice trying to explain it to them. Now, Tony, you and me are in the same age bracket. You're about 20 years older than me, but we both many times watched many of those tapes from Japan. You know, the alligator death matches, the cactus death matches.
The piranhas.
Yes, the sauna bathhouse. Yeah. But the exploding barbed wire death match is like no other.
Lama Namanumi and Deadly Fred and Cactus Sack and Drunk Terry Flunk. And
now, I still got a couple questions. Is this a no-roped barbed wire exploding death match, or is it just an exploding barbed wire death match? Were you with me when we went to ECW in Asbury Park for the exploding barbed wire death match?
No, I wasn't. I went to the pay-per-view in Asbury. I didn't go to that show.
Okay, yeah, that was that is the definition of a fart in church. It was just barbed wire on the plywood. And when you slam somebody on it, there was supposed to be an explosion. There was no explosion.
This is all right. I'm asking a serious question.
Yeah.
How many matches have Moxley and Omega had against each other? Two now, right?
Yeah, they had the lights out one, one of the first pay per views. What's the Full Gear last year? Not 2020, 2019.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then they had the one for the title where Moxley lost.
And that was a gimmick match too, or no?
No, that was just the Don Callis, when Don Callis took him and they went to Impact. That was on Dynamite.
Can I just ask why?
Why what?
I get the promo, and can Kenny slow down a little bit when he's given a promo? Can he be serious instead of just like, oh, you know, I have to kill you. You know what I'm going to do to kill you? I'm going to put you in an exploding match, exploding barbed wire. Just fucking be tough. Be tough guy, Kenny, please, for 1 second.
But that's not what he has to be during the promo, because Jon Moxley is being held down by two men.
I don't know. What, was he trying out for a play or something? Like, I didn't get it, dude. And why? Why are we ramping it all the way up to an exploding barbed wire death match? And why are we doing this in the first place? Why?
Why not?
All right, fine. Then why isn't every match an exploding barbed wire death
match? Look, this is not something we've ever seen in America.
Do we need... Let me ask you, in 2021, for a major fucking wrestling company, do we need to see this?
Do we need to see this? No.
Yeah. Does this feud need this match?
This specific match, no, but they do need a blow-off match, and they need to find a way to write Moxley off TV, because I'm guessing after this he won't be around.
Well, because... he's in terrible shape to begin with, so it's not like, you know, he's going to be sticking around much
longer. Wow, still with the potty shaming. Unbelievable, just this
saying,
guy.
Just saying. Look.
So you're not excited about this?
I'm really not.
Really? I cannot wait to see. It's either going to be really good or really fucking bad.
That's the only thing that may make this interesting, that it's going to be really bad. But do you want this to be really bad for your world title match?
But that's the thing, Tony. You can't really make one of these a good match, because the whole match is built around the explosions. And depending on the way it's set up, if it's you go into the ropes and there's an explosion, there's going to be a lot of that weird. It'll be like the Kane Undertaker Inferno match, where you're trying to stick people's heads in the fire. I think you're painting yourself into a corner, but I have to find.
I'm not the one in a friggin' barbed wire exploding death match.
No, I didn't mean you. I meant AEW. But I have to see. Is it a no rope barbed wire match? Where are the explosions coming from? Is it an explosion when somebody hits a turnbuckle? Is it an explosion when somebody hits the barbed wire, the ropes? Like, what is? Is it one giant explosion? Is it like a Hayabusa Onita match where there's a fucking countdown clock and it's in a steel cage?
I got it. This is what's going to happen. They're going to have the entire AEW's women division at ringside, and that's going to be the fucking explosion. They already fucking blew it up. They might as well just fucking throw the dirt on it at this point. I don't know. Dude. Look, wait. I'll wait and see. I'll hold judgment, but I don't think this is a good idea. This has bad idea written all over it.
I love it. I can't wait. This is so exciting.
You might be right, though. This might be so bad, it's good.
Look, because look, I think I think Casey Catal was in one recently in CZW.
Really?
I think so. In the last year or two.
Why?
I think it was like a big blow-off match.
Why? And look, I know she lives for this shit, but why?
I don't know if she does not live for death matches.
Then why does she do them?
I think it was a blow-off to the feud. Like, it was the one time she did a death match.
Can we get her signed to AEW? Can we get her away from the death matches?
We could try. We could start a...
Hit up the Young Bucks. I'm sure they'll fucking listen.
Okay, I'll do my best. I'll put it on my list.
Listen, send Kenny Omega a message, and if you want, I'll co-sign it with you. Tell him instead of putting in these fucking cosplayers that he's got in Japan, sign a real woman like Casey Catal.
All right.
That's what that division needs.
I'll do that.
She won't be afraid to cut a bitch either.
Right? Sometimes you gotta cut a bitch. I'm excited. I can't wait for... Look, there's Cactus Terry Funk. There's Funk Onita. There's Onita Pogo. There's Hayabusa Onita. There's so many... Mr. Genosaki.
Yeah, but I feel like that time is past. Don't you?
Yeah, but everything's cyclical. Bring it around. Come on. Come on, let's bring it back.
WWE has a fucking exploding barbed wire pay-per-view next July or something like that. I'm blaming you for this.
I mean, at least they'll have a gimmick match for Great Balls of Fire.
Good point,
sir. Why are you blaming me for this? I don't write for fucking AEW. I work at the pizza place.
Yeah, but you're like, this is cyclical. Maybe they're listening to you. I don't know.
Who?
Maybe they're sneaking into your room at night. Maybe they can read your mind. Maybe that's why you can't sleep, because you got fucking exploding barbed wire death matches on the mind. I don't know. By the way, I found the promo where Lex Luger said allocades. Did you see it? I had posted up the link in the Discord.
I did not.
He's a fucking dude. It was so great. And he's like, you went over all my allocates. And Terry Funk looks into the camera. He's like this. And then he turns back.
Oh, is that at like Clash of the Champions?
Yes. Clash of the Champions 10.
I'm excited for this.
All right. Good. Be excited. I'm excited when they actually start caring about the women's division and some of the other stuff.
Look, Tony, Hikaru Shida, she's going to wrestle for the second time this year, March 7th. Your women's champion.
Hikaru Shida.
She's the shooter, bro. Brother.
Brother.
Brother, she's going to shoot you. You know who's going to be on Dark this week?
Hopefully Tombstone Jesus.
No, J.D. Drake will be taking on Eddie Kingston.
Ooh.
You ever call a J.D. Drake match?
I don't think I have.
Call it what?
Call it amazing because Eddie Kingston's going to be in there with him. That's what I would call it.
There you go.
I'm so looking forward to talking to Tombstone tonight.
We still got a lot to talk about.
Well, we better get fucking moving.
Yeah, we're
going
to get fucking moving. What do we usually say? What do we say? Back after this?
Back after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you can combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support the Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix.
Make a new commercial!
Cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Brother, mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
I thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking about professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also, check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram, also at The Brocast Podcast.
Yeah, but we don't spell it with a C. You spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
Matt, it's with a K. Don't ever forget it.
Never, ever forget.
Do you need music, by the way?
Nope. I got some music right here.
Awesome.
This is some music from our guest tonight. This is Mountain Metal from Tombstone Jesus, the Railroad Car. I highly recommend you check it out. It's available on YouTube. But before we get to Tombstone Jesus and more wrestling talk, we're going to take this time to thank those over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You enjoy this show. You enjoy our guests. You want to give back a little bit. You want to support your friends over here at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head over to our Patreon. You can support us for as little as $1 a month. I recommend the $3 a month tier, because not only do you get mentioned on this show every week, you also get 3 bonus shows a month. And this is what you're missing in the month of February if you are not a Patreon subscriber. We did a wrestling profile on Shelton Benjamin. We did a show profile on ECW Guilty as Charged 1999. And Tony did a watch-along to Al Snow, Big Boss Man, Kennel Match from Hell. And you are guaranteed 3 bonus shows a month at the $3 level on Patreon, and we will mention you every week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Without further ado, we're going to thank Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards, flanked by her co-partner, the king, Mr. Manny Crazzo, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP, Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com, Elementary Brewery in Hackensack. If you want to grab some local beer and support local businesses, check out elementary.com. Sean Toe, Sean Calejo, Ryan Schlong, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Catherine Hensler over at ondeckic.com. She also co-hosts several other podcasts. She's part of the Wednesday Night Show. She does Pick a Vinyl, which is a music one, which is super fun. You want to check that out if you're into music. And she does What's Good with Kevin Gill, friend of the show, Kevin Gill.
I heard she's also got another podcast coming up where she's talking about AEW Heels, goddammit.
Ooh, a Heels podcast, nice. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the K, JG. Maddie Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark. Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump, the only thing worth listening to over there on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Podcast, if the audio is working. So, I don't know. It's a shot. Take your shot. See if it works. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock. Michael Hammond, Mr. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Carrie Cowling, Matthew Birch, the true prince of pro. Give him a follow over on Twitter. He's a great follow. Huge wrestling fan. Supports the independents in the Pittsburgh area. Good guy. He's like our resident wrestling knowledge dude. Anytime we need to know something.
The wrestling knowledge dude.
Yeah.
He's a stat guy.
The Bergman, the LeBron James of the Mattel Elite Figure Collecting Community. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And if you got some hairy balls, you want to go over to manscaped.com and get those hairy balls taken care of. You want the Lawnmower 3.0? It's got skin-safe technology. It's got a flashlight. It's got a 90-minute battery. You could do it in the shower. You could do it on a bathtub. You could do it in your living room. You could shave your balls everywhere. As long as this thing's charged, you get 90 minutes of rip, roar, and excitement, and you don't have to worry about ripping your balls open. Because with the SkinSafe technology, you're going to be as cool as a cucumber and smooth as a baby's bottom.
Yeah.
But that's not all.
Now, I thought that's exactly what rip, roaring meant.
It is. That's not all.
I mean, nothing says rip roaring like ripping your balls open. Because first you rip, then you roar.
Makes a good point.
It does happen from time to time, but not with the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped.com.
No.
Look, maybe you're a little hesitant about the ball trimmer. We, all three of us, have used it. We give you our That's word. Right. It works. You don't have to worry about catching your balls in it. They also have the ball deodorant, which is great. You wake up in the morning, take a shower, you get out of the shower, you dry your balls, you throw some deodorant on, your balls will smell great all day. Guaranteed. Then you grab some crop mops. You throw those in your backpack. You take those to work.
Maybe some mops box?
Crop mops. Maybe you're not feeling so fresh. Maybe you had to fucking run around. All right? The air conditioning don't work at the office. It's 100 degrees. You had to run to this guy's office. You had to run to the warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got fucking swampy balls now. Maybe you're going out for a drink afterwards.
Dude, right. you're out shoveling 6 or 7 inches of snow, man, and sweatpants and winter coats and the whatnots, and you're sweating.
You hit the bathroom with your crop mop, boom, quick wipe, you're cleaned up, you're good to go. You got stinky feet? Grab the foot duster. It's great. It even goes in the shower. The Manscaped body wash is awesome. I have 2 bottles in the shower. I can't get enough of the goddamn stuff. I stopped buying regular body wash because I got the Manscaped stuff, and it doubles as a shampoo.
Yep.
So you can do body wash and your hair. Wow. Don't forget, you got to trim up your, you got some talons, right? Dudes sometimes don't know how to take care of their fingernails and their footnails. They got the Shear 2.0 kit. You don't have to bite your fingernails, Kevin. You just go over to manscaped.com. You drop those Shear set right in there. Boom. You're good to go. And, of course, Kevin's got 2 doses of vaccine. Kevin's good. He's going to put his mask on. He's going to load up his pockets with some beer drinking monies to pick up the honeys.
And I make it rain, kid. I make it rain, son.
And he's going to throw on that Manscaped Redefined cologne.
Some good shit.
See, you guys, you're defined. Then you put that on, and then you're defined again. You're just so redefined. You're refined. You're redefined. You're everything in between. Oh, man. Rock those, you know, the Manscaped boxer briefs. Whew, comfort level to the max.
That's the key too, because the boxer briefs are actually very they're airy. Like, it almost feels like you're wearing nothing at all. Like, you get a breeze going through there, cool you right down, baby.
Oh yeah, you're very, very movable in there.
And if you don't believe us, see for yourself. Go over to manscaped.com. Because you listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you put all this deliciousness in your cart. When you go to checkout, you type in that Wizards, WIZARDS. Boom, 20% off and free shipping. And it's not a one-time code, right? You want to grab the lawnmower? Great. Shows up at your house. You shave your balls. You look like a fucking, I don't know, a gorilla? I don't know.
Gorilla.
I was thinking of a hairy person. I don't know. You look like you got gorilla balls, right? You burn through a blade. You got to order replaceable blades. Guess what?
An Italian?
Yeah, there you go. You want to look? You want to use the Lawnmower 3.0 to shave your mother's mustache? Go nuts!
Oh,
right? You know the Italian lady's got hairy lips. Yeah. You burn the blade out on her mustache? No worries. You can order replaceable blades, and you can use the code word Wizards, and you're still gonna save 20% and get free shipping. So check out manscaped.com. Use the code word Wizards. We will thank you. Your balls will thank you, and you will be a big fan of the Manscaped.
Oh yeah! So go ahead, put your balls in our court.
And your Italian grandmother will thank you as well.
You guys didn't notice. I brought back the mustache. You guys didn't comment on that bad boy today. Is it not noticeable enough?
You look the same every week?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't really notice a difference. Sorry.
Oh, wow. I haven't had the mustache in like 2 months.
I thought you had it last week.
No. All right.
Am I a bad person for not remembering?
No, I mean, it's okay that you don't notice my facial hair, Tony.
I mean, I noticed John Moxley looked a little sickly a couple weeks ago.
Maybe he was. Maybe he had the chicken mox.
Abu.
That's why they have to be in a barbed wire cage. This way the chicken doesn't run away.
We didn't mention it going through our AEW notes. I think we touched on it briefly. Anna Jay out 6 months to a year. She hurt herself.
Anna!
She injured her shoulder training, so she's going to have surgery. That's a huge blow to the women's division. Hopefully, we get the alien back soon, though. I think that might help a little bit.
Ooh. Yeah, I forgot about her.
Kevin.
Yo.
You want to take a stat? You got any anything from Impact you want to talk about? Tuesday night's Impact. Kevin slays it on the Twitter machine. If you're not following us on social media at Wizards Podcast, Kevin's getting likes. He's getting retweets. He's talking to Scott D'Amore. He's getting quote tweeted by his fucking best friend, Matt Cardona. Kevin is a master at Impact tweeting.
Oh, yeah. Take a picture. Yeah, me and you know, my dear good personal friend, Matt Cardona, had a great little back and forth, little one-on-one ski. Of course, it was more one-sided than one-on-one ski. But he had a nice little promo back and forth. We start there with you know, my dear good friends, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. Dude, did you see Myers' Twitter today or what he called Ryder?
No, what did he call Ryder?
He called him Mid Cardona.
Oh, dang.
That's awesome.
Oh, dang.
He calls up mid-card Ona's got to get out of Impact Wrestling. So, yeah, they had a back and forth. Of course, we had basically a double dose of Impact. Of course, we talked about No Surrender last week, but, you know, we had to follow up. Josh Alexander and TJP. Josh Alexander is now foraying into the X Division world now that his tag team partner, All Ego Ethan Page, is the Karate Man, is no longer in Impact Wrestling. X Division's hot. Trey Miguel is back doing his thing there, along with Willie Mack. Dude, Daivari stays jacked, bro. Daivari might be like the wrestler in like the best shape I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's just so ridiculously jacked. So I think Trey Miguel won a four-way with Willie Mack, Daivari, and Chris Bay.
Suicide.
God, I don't know how that's still a character, by the way.
Yeah, you would think that would have been gone by now.
That really, like, I don't complain about a whole lot. That really bothers me. I mean, I guess it shouldn't, because there's been a character called Homicide for the last 20 years, but, like, that just bothers me that's still a thing. I mean, granted, I don't think WWE or AEW would ever have a character called Suicide, so maybe it flies under the radar a little bit, but just freaks me out a little bit.
I got to ask you, Kevin, how awesome was Finn Juice?
This is the weirdest thing. I did not see this. I did not watch. I did not, for some reason, I don't know how this happened. I missed it. I missed the Reno Scum Finn Juice match. I watched everything else. I watched Nevaeh Tennille. That was great. The Old School Rules match. I just missed Finn Juice. And I know this is like the most upsetting thing to a lot of our listeners, because this is the kind of thing that I've been praising Impact and AEW. And now like that forbidden door is open all over the place, and I fucking missed it. So did you happen to catch it? Did you catch up on it, Matt?
It's the only thing I saw from Impact, and I love it.
See, that's where you fit right in, where I falter. Look, so what was it like?
I thought it was a great introduction for them. Reno Scum got a lot of offense in, but I think everything that really matters is post match with the Good Brothers coming out, making fun of Juice and David, saying they were young boys used to carry their bags.
Juice, oh, I did see this. All right,
yeah, you saw the match then, right?
Yeah, I did see this. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, they're calling the young boy stuff, and then now they said like they don't carry like nobody's bags anymore or something like that, or some, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they invited, yeah, no, they now invited him out for beers, and Juice was like, see if you can keep up with us, old man. Yeah, good stuff. I'm excited for Finn Juice. I liked him in Impact. I think that's a good fit. Excuse me.
Good one.
Kevin,
yeah,
anything else?
I don't know why I thought I didn't see this, but I did.
Next week, Ace Austin will team with Chris Bay and Black Taurus to take on Willie Mack, Josh Alexander, and Trey Miguel, with the winning team moving on to a triple threat in 2 weeks with the X Division title match awaiting the winner. So whatever team wins, then those three guys are going to be in a three-way dance And whoever wins that gets TJP is still the X Division champ, right?
Yeah, I remember tweeting about this because I remember how much I also and Scott D'Amore, I know you're probably not listening. Actually, no, I know you are listening, Scott D'Amore, because you always listen because you're a dear good friend of the podcast. I want to. This is so like ass backwards to me. It's like Ace Austin, I want to give you a shot. I'm dying to give you a shot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it the most convoluted, makes no sense series of matches possible for you to get your shot. Just very, very bizarre. And Ace Austin actually was on my side for that bad boy, for that tweet, because it just didn't make sense. It's like you want him to have a shot, yet you're going to put him in this weird series of cluster fudge nonsense. So that is what it is.
Cluster fudge nonsense. Also, Jazz and Jordan Grace take on Susan and Kimberly, with the winners getting a match against the Knockout Tag Team champions Fire and Flava. No, you're not sold on either of these teams, Kevin?
I'm not sold as much as I want to be and as much as I probably have complimented them in the past. I think they have a great look. I think they have a great character. They just should never be allowed to speak.
Which team?
Fire and Flava.
Dang. Son.
And also, it sounds like a Dorito. Doesn't it sound like a new flavor of a Dorito that would come out? Like, can't you just see that on like the packaging of a Dorito, Fire and Flava?
Yeah, I can. I might try it.
Yeah, I would go for that.
Now, that would be cool. That's a t-shirt right there.
They announced March 13th will be Sacrifice, the Saturday special show on Impact Plus.
See, now, that's a special show. Like, those are special. Like, Elimination Chamber, not special. These are special.
What if they called it the Special Elimination Chamber? Or the Elimination Chamber Special?
Then I'd have no choice to call it special.
Thinking.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Kevin, anything else about Impact before we move forward?
God, I love everything about Violent by Design to this day. Still such a great, like, they're so unique in each one of their presentations that you just got the big creepy cowboy, you got the rejected soul and Diener, and then you got the ringleader and Eric Young. And I wouldn't be upset if they added somebody else. I don't know who. I'm not going to start pontificating on names of who they could add, but if they add like a fourth member to this group that is just different from everyone else in it, they'll all still find a way to mesh. Because like, listen, Joe Doering, like when you look at him, like he looks like he should just be like your All Japan, you know, Stan Hansen, like badass Bradshaw tough guy gimmick. But no, he's just this weird silent cowboy mother effer that just does the bidding of Eric Young and Diener, who, well, I would have loved to have Jake, even though I'm very excited for his singles run. I would have liked to see Jake actually join them, because Matt, then you can know what you could call him.
What? Violent
by Dazine.
Oh.
Or Violent by the Dieners. That's probably my favorite thing right now. Moose is still great, and everything that he does. Again, I hope that he's good. He's got to be the champ. There's no way that he's not going to win the belt at some point. So, because I love me some. I don't really love me some Rich Swann, but I can tolerate me some Rich Swann. I just want that belt off him ASAP.
All right. That's some Impact talk. Again, if you're watching Impact Tuesday nights, be sure to follow us at Wizards Podcast. Kevin crushes the Twitter machine. And interact with Kevin. He's watching the show. He's tweeting. He's having a good time.
Yeah. So if you see that, and I would even like maybe venture to say that maybe at some point I maybe do like a little like short post show where like I respond to all your tweets or something like that, if you want to get involved in it. Something that we can fiddle with at some point. But I just respond. Some great people do actually respond, Matt. Berg is always kind of there. A couple of the podcasts, the guys over at Marking Out always respond and interact. And Tom 5 or whatever, and Vader. Sorry, I don't know all your Twitter handles by heart, but you're the regulars that always interact with me on Tuesday nights, and I really, really like that. So keep it coming, baby.
Keep it coming. We're going to keep it rolling. Tony.
I'm going to ask your opinion first, because you...
I'm excited about this.
You said you didn't seem too thrilled. What were your thoughts on MLW's Fight Island this week?
Excuse me, it's MLW Filthy Island.
Filthy Island.
First of all, at the beginning, I was like, what is this shit? And then by the end, I was like, this should be the show every fucking week.
Exactly. Thank you. I think MLW did a great job with this. It was fucking nonsense. It was silly. It was stupid, but it was so fucking good. So good.
I thought Tom Lawler and Dan Lambert were fantastic doing color commentary. And Dan Lambert would be like, why would you... You made this. Why is he wrestling him?
Exactly. It was so good. The way they were just going back and forth with each other. And the other thing was, this was apparently booked on Kevin Von Erich's property. And I was like, why are they booked on the Von Erich property to begin with? And then it was like, the Von Erichs are not going to be here. And then like 10 minutes in, the Von Erichs are like, we're here. We're making our way over to the ring. And it took them 45 minutes to drive to the ring. And I'm just like, how much fucking property does Kevin Von Erich own in Hawaii? This is insane.
He owns the whole island.
Apparently. I don't think Kauai's that big, is it? I don't know for sure.
Oh, my God.
It took them an hour to get from one side of the island, from one side of their property to the other, which was just insane. Let me see. So all they did was shit on Loki all night, which was fucking hysterical. All the jokes they were making.
I will let you. That was the most disappointing part of the show.
We didn't get there yet.
Oh, I'm just going to throw that out there.
All right. We did get a finish, though. I'll give you that. It wasn't great, but we did get a finish for a change. So Dominic Guarini took on Mona Loa, and Mona Loa was like, looked like Conrad Thompson in a grass skirt and paint. That was from my notes. It was pretty short. For some reason, Dominic Guarini had a bag with a dollar sign on it, but all it had in it was cans of Spam, because I guess the Hawaiians love Spam.
It wasn't even Spam, though. It was like knockoff Spam.
Listen, it's Tom Lawler. He couldn't afford a lot of shit there. Did you see the fucking seats they had at ringside?
Yeah, one looked like it came out of a van.
Yeah, it was a van seat and a couch. They had a paid attendance of like four people, which was insane. Let me see. So yeah, hip toss, choke out. It's over. Dude, Mil Muertes and Savio Vega had this death match at Chichen Itza in Mexico, and the satellite feed kept going out. Because apparently Tom Lawler didn't pay for a good feed, which was fucking awesomely hysterical to begin with. That was pretty bad.
I hated this. I hated that. I hated the Aztec Jungle fight. I'm fucking done with the Los Parks. I'm done with them. I don't give a shit about you. I don't care about your Spanish. I don't give a shit that the three of you look identical, although the oldest one looks like he ate the other two kids that we never see. They suck. I can't believe they're the tag champions.
You say Spanish or Spanish?
Spamish?
Spanish.
I thought there was a callback to something I heard. I thought I heard Spam earlier. Sorry.
And then fucking LA Park's throwing out challenges to Alexander Hammerstone. You really want to tangle with the Meat Castle fat boy? He's going to fucking smush your head like a grape.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Fuck out of here with your promociones, Dorado.
Yeah. So this is my note. So LA Park versus Hammer, fuck off hard in capital letters. That was my mentally impaired low key came out of somebody's mouth at some point. I think Tom.
God,
I was fucking laughing. Yep. Dude, Zenshi. Look, for those of you who don't know, this is a ring with the posts, but no ropes because it's supposed to be like, you know, fighting. Zenshi's on the fucking top of the tree waiting for Kevin Koo to get in the ring. And when he gets in the ring, he fucking dives off on him. I'll tell you this much, for having no ropes at ringside, Zenshi found some creative ways to fly around and shit.
Yeah, the referee, not so much. He didn't have a good time.
So this
referee
was
the, had his, go ahead, Kev.
This Filthy Island was the show where like the guys would make the posters that were just insulting everyone.
Yeah, like, well, the big joke on Twitter was, you know, it said King Mo versus Low IQ.
Gotcha.
They were doing that because they're, you know, Team Filthy can't stand Low Key, so they were just they got. Let me see. Another recap of Low-Key and Mo, their history.
Hold on. We got to talk about the referee, Tony.
Oh, the guy whose fucking fly was open the whole time?
He split his pants and he counted a three count too fast, and Zenshi looked like the winner. Zenshi was
Koreans will ruin a fucking show, man.
Zenshi was wrestling Kevin Koo.
Yes.
Kevin got the win. Yeah, Kevin got the win. So then, I'm sorry, onward now. We see more of this fucking ad jungle bullshit.
Yeah, there's more Jungle Shit, but we also get a moment with Dynasty. Richard Holiday and Hammerstone are in Hawaii.
I thought we got Alicia, too, talking to TJP first.
Was it down further?
I think that was right before the main event, because that was really hysterical.
Yeah, it's down further. It's much further down in the notes. I got a whole bunch of shit about Zenshi. Ku wins with a Snapdragon suplex. Not bad. Let me see. So, yeah. So then at this point, the Von Erichs are like, we're coming to crash the party. We're getting there.
Oh, yeah. They turn up their music.
Yes. Dude. And that's the other thing. The music for the entrances for the guys that were coming out, it was a tape player.
It was MBW style.
And they just focused the camera on the cassette player, and they'd pop the cassette in and press play, and then the music would start.
Awesome. Fucking hysterical. Alicia, too, talks to TJP, and TJP's got a fucking attitude problem.
He's kind of a dick, yeah.
He is, and he's going to pick on poor Buku Dao. He's a fucking bully. And then he ended the interview when Alicia called him a bully. Oh.
Did you like how the graphic kept saying, is TJP a bully? Is he a bully? Was his actions justified? It was so cheesy and over the top, dude.
You know what was cheesy?
What?
Everything Gringo Loco's been eating since the pandemic started.
Oh, my God, dude. I told you when I saw him, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? Who did he wrestle? Oh, he wrestled, what's his name? Fucking Gino Medino. They were supposed to be having a feud, too. What was the line?
Called Medino.
Wait, so we go back to Savio Vega, and they started their fight, and then they lost the signal, and Tom Waller goes, satellite time isn't cheap. That was fucking great. Here we go. Oh, there was one. Somebody had a line about Gringo Loco. I fucking lost it. God damn it. Anyway, Gringo Loco, MLW's answer to Super Porky. Fucking great line.
Every time I pop, every time I hear a Super Porky reference. I like how Rocky Romero got to the ring. He said 2 weeks ago the Tokyo Dome, and now this.
Yes, and then he's going. Somebody said to him, "All right, George Jefferson, step on up." How do you not love Tom Lawler and Dan Lambert?
They did a fucking unbelievable job on. I thought it was awesome.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
Sounds like this might be something I have to check out.
This is a great watch, Kevin. It's very funny.
So Gringo Loco had two spots that I fucking, one I really loved, the other one I hated. One, when he dove to the outside and he took out the couch while Rocky Romero was on it and the whole fucking couch went over. But then there was a spot early where Gringo was grabbing his legs and he fucking literally got lost. He didn't know what to do. He was like going to hook him for like a sharpshooter. Then he was going to like hold his legs open. I was like, what the fuck is he doing, dude? Yeah, Gringo Loco was in terrible shape. I was surprised how fast he was still moving, but my God, he got big. My God. Let me see. Rocky Romero had a tornado DDT using the post instead of running up the ropes, which was cool. And was that the finish? I think that was the finish. No, the tornado DDT?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So now we go back to Chichen Itza in Mexico. And Savio Vega's got a crowbar that he fucking just drops. And Mil Muertes levels him with the crowbar. And he gets pinned. And then Selena's like, now finish it. And all of a sudden there's a shovel. So I'm like, oh, we're getting some fucking Buried Alive Undertaker action. But then they fucking lost the feed again, and it was over. We had some Contra shit, making fun of Jordan Oliver.
I'm done with the Contra stuff, too.
I know. I'm done with them, too. I'm hoping. Part of me so badly wants to see Jordan Oliver get a win. Part of me so badly wants to see Jordan Oliver become the fucking MLW champion. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I want to see it. I really want to see it.
Let me ask you something, Matt.
Yes.
Is there a world where we see Hammerstone on a bigger stage than MLW?
I think one day, yes.
Tony?
I'm not sure, because he was adamant about staying with MLW, so I don't know if he really wants to be, you know, like a fish in a bigger pond.
I think he'd be a freaking star.
Of course. Yeah. But you know, it may be in him that, like, I don't know if he thinks he needs a little more seasoning. You know, if he needs a little more time in the ring, time in front of the camera.
I forget how long. He's been around for a long time.
Well, that's my point. Is MLW just something out of convenience for him that he enjoys doing and he doesn't want to go any further? Which is fine, but I think it'd be pretty disappointing to not get him, like you said, on a national platform.
You know who loves Hammerstone? Nova.
Really?
Yeah. He thinks that Hammerstone's gonna be like the next like guy.
Is he still corporate?
No, not even close.
Wow.
How much spam you think Hammerstone's can eat?
I don't think he would want to eat spam.
He was all into the spam, bro.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Spam is severely underrated, by the way. I'm throwing that out there.
They turned down the offer for sitting in the VIP section for the main event.
Well, Holiday didn't want none of it, although he was excited to see an empty Starbucks cup on the ground.
Yes. Yes, he was.
How much coffee is Holiday throwing down nowadays still? Just as much as he always has?
As much as he wants.
Yeah, but it's all his own. Like, did you see he posted a video on Twitter where he was drinking Starbucks and he spit it out? I thought that was pretty funny.
He's like a kid in the candy store with that coffee. All right, let's talk about this fucking dog shit main event. Can we?
Wait, so with six minutes left, we get a top 10. By the way, Tom is offering Dynasty, quote, oceanfront property and VIP seating. So that was his pitch line, which is fucking fantastic.
So can we guess the top 10?
No. I didn't even write it down. Oh. It's the same people you always know. It's like Mads Kruger and everybody else. 5 minutes left, Loki comes out. 3 minutes left, now they're finally... There's 3 minutes left in the show, and now they're fighting. King Mo still doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He picked up Loki at one point. I thought he was going to drop him on his fucking head. Let me see. So Key... What did Key wind up doing? He was climbing up on Mo, and then when he slipped down, he got him in the submission. Is that how it worked out? It was super fast.
It was a minute and 40 seconds. They built this for a year. A fucking year.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Now, do you think they gave Loki a quick win just to get to a rubber match eventually?
Oh, God, I can't. Well, they gave him a quick win because King Mo sucks shit.
Now, do you think, like, King Mo, like, was tapping his hand? Do you think he meant to tap or he was reaching for the rope? That was just the way that Lawler was trying to sell it?
I don't fucking know. I was so annoyed at this. And the Von Erichs show up in their fucking blazer or whatever fucking car
it was a Jeep
around.
And they were blasting their theme music on the Jeep as they pulled up. How fucking cool is that? So here's the funny thing, right? So Team Filthy is fighting with the Von Erichs and Loki, and King Mo is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he's a chicken.
King Mo wasn't involved in that shit. Where the hell did he go?
He went home because he's a bitch.
And somebody who wound up, I think Dominic Guarini got slammed through the windshield on the Jeep, didn't he?
Yeah, they're banging up the Von Erichs Jeep.
That's a shame.
And now next week we got fucking MLW Underground.
Is that a repeat episode?
It's, you know, there's shit that they're going to show from like 18 years ago.
Yeah, so MLW is going to be a no watch next week. We're not going to be covering that because I ain't watching that shit.
In 2 weeks is when we get Fatu and Oliver. And Los Parks against Simon Gotch and Daivari. And then on the 24th is the MLW Never Say Never show.
Yeah, that's going to be another one of those like big time, but still on YouTube for an hour shows. So they'll probably book six matches and cancel three of them.
Yeah, one match will have a finish. The other ones will be fucking schmazes.
We got four finishes though for the show. We were 4 for 4 with finishes. That's a big plus for MLW. Definitely worth the watch for last week's show if you did not
last
see
week, it. Last week's show was very fun.
Tom Lawler and Dan Lambert need to just be commentary. That's what they need to do.
I'm with you on that. Let me blow through some a couple news and notices before Tombstone Jesus joins us. I said last week I was going to watch that great Muta match where he won the title. I've been very critical on part-time wrestlers, older wrestlers, wrestling for championships. This does not change. Muta was, he's 58. I don't understand. I don't know anything about pro wrestling Noah. This match was slow. It was boring. The finish was awful. I don't get it.
Now I'm going to have to watch this.
I don't understand it.
Where'd you rent this on, Fight?
Yeah, I'll give you all my shit and you can watch
it. I got
it.
Your shit. Don't worry.
Okay.
You got my shit. I got your shit. We're good.
It was just, I didn't like it. It was like a Triple H match.
Did you go into it with high expectations?
No, because I know he's 58 years old, but I was like, oh, maybe they'll do it different, you know? And then they started off really slow and I was like, all right. I'm like, this makes sense. He took a couple bumps here and there. And then I was like, all right, when's it going to get in the second gear? And it never really did. And something else I noticed about the show is they have like really old dudes and then like some young dudes. And there's like nothing in between.
Wow.
It was like a 38-year-old wrestling like a 51-year-old.
I'm still kind of surprised that Noah's still a thing.
Yeah, I don't know who is behind. Like, I know very little about pro wrestling Noah. I really have to do like a deep dive. And
well, Noah was the promotion Misawa broke off with, right?
Right.
And that was like 20 years ago already. That was a long time ago. Maybe even longer.
And for a while, they were crushing it. But
all those guys that made All Japan what it was in the 90s were all wound up going to Noah.
Right, and the New Japan guys that didn't want to be in the shoot fighting New Japan went there too.
Yeah, when Inoki was losing his mind.
Yeah, so I did not think this was very good. I talked about it in the Discord with some people. They think it's a PR stunt. I get it, but like, I don't know. Is this going to get more eyes on pro wrestling Noah? You know, like the way Aja Khan got in the ring, where she took like one step at a time, was the same way Muda left the ring. Like once,
it's so
yeah.
Sad.
Like I don't want to see that. That's not. And he wasn't in the face paint. He was wrestling as Muto, not the great Muda, but still. Like, I don't know.
That's kind of rough.
Yeah, it was rough. You know what else is rough?
Uh-oh.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Dude, when I read this news, I was like, no way. That throws such a monkey wrench in anything.
That might be the big... He's the single most important person to that division, and that completely fucks up the whole division right now.
Yeah.
Someone tell me, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do we know the match?
For what? When he got hurt?
We know when it happened.
Hiromu Takahashi was taken off the road. He got injured at the February 20th Road to Castle Attack event in... February 19th. It was against Kota Ibushi and Honma. Excuse me.
Honma, yeah.
Yeah,
Honma
it was a tag team match. Him and Shingo against Honma and Kota Ibushi. So he is out, 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months.
With a torn left pectoral muscle. Not only does this affect the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match, he was also in the IWGP Junior Tag Team match.
Yep.
So this really fucks up the whole division. Also, Naito was not wrestling because he had been hurt with a knee injury. But he said he will be back on... what's the date I have?
That's a lot of spoons out of the porridge.
Yeah, it's not good.
Somebody knocked the bowl over. Jesus.
They have held 24 events in the first 50 days of 2021.
That's a lot, dude.
And they have 40 more shows scheduled for the next 73 days.
Oh, my God. I guess they're really trying to get their money's worth, huh?
I mean, it's all leading up to... So this drastically changed the Castle Attack card. There's no junior heavyweight match on there, and there's no junior tag title match on there. They did announce that New Japan is in talks with Axis TV about a possible return.
All right.
And
have you watched the new show that came out on the Roku channel yet?
I have not.
I haven't checked it out yet either. It's probably something to put on the to-do list for this week.
Yeah, I think they're playing a lot of stuff from like Wrestle Kingdoms and stuff just to get people acclimated with the program.
That's cool.
With the stars. They announced that Yano will defend his King of Pro Wrestling title against Chase Owens in a Texas strap match at Saturday's Castle Attack event.
Not to be confused with the Chicken Chamber match.
And that is most of the New Japan news. Obviously, the big Hiromu injury is a huge blow to the junior division and New Japan as a whole. Quickly, just want to run down Ring of Honor TV that I watched before we did the show. We have new six-man tag team champions. Shane Taylor and the Soldiers of Savagery defeated Mexi Squad. It's an
nice.
Awesome, awesome six-man tag match. Bateman lost to Mike Bennett, and then Taven and Bennett broke Bateman's ankle, very similar to what they did to Bennett, because Vincent refused to come out and save Bateman and have a match with him. So as Bateman is writhing in pain, Matt Taven's yelling at him, and Bateman's just laughing like a lunatic. So we have that story. And in the opening match, it was the Briscoes against Kenny King and Dragon Lee. Winner gets a tag team title shot. against Gresham and Lethal next week. The mercenary, Flip Gordon, interfered, kicking Mark Briscoe off the top rope and causing the Briscoes to lose. Post-match, EC3 makes his return.
Ooh.
And he talks a little bit of shit to Jay Briscoe about how he respects him. He's the only man that has honor in this company. Is it honorable to accept money to interfere in a match? Implying that because Flip Gordon is the mercenary, Flip took the money that EC3 gave him to interfere in the match. And then, of course, he finished it with control your narrative. So next week, Shane Taylor, Roosh, Lethal, Gresham against Kenny King and Dragon Lee.
Wow. Good shit.
I'm loving it. It's the best hour of TV. I wish we had more time to get into it. I know our guest is in the queue.
Oh, boy.
It's time.
Oh, no.
It's the way for this.
I'm so nervous and weird and excited. I don't know.
It's Tombstone Jesus time. Can we bring in Mr. Tombstone Jesus?
There he is.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Is he frozen already?
I don't know. He's connecting to audio, Mr. Tombstone Jesus. He's all the way out there in Utah.
Johnny Utah.
Do we keep him in the queue too long?
He's probably angry at us. Here he is.
No, he looks good. He looks like he's having a good time. We're waiting for him to connect to the audio. We can't hear you, Mr. Jesus. Do I call him Mr. Jesus?
Hey, do we just call him T.S. Tombstone?
T.S.
You call him T-Stone.
Call him Tombstone. Call him Jesus.
I wouldn't call him Mr. Jesus. I'd call him Mr. Tombstone.
How about TJ?
That would be a bad idea. Don't worry. He's getting there. His audio's got to connect. He can probably hear us. Yeah, we can't hear you yet. Don't worry about it. We'll get it figured out.
We'll figure it out. Technology, baby. We're rocking and rolling.
I thought they had better internet in Utah these days.
I don't know shit about Utah, bro. There he is.
Nope. Now he's muted.
You're muted. Just click off your mute button.
Can you unmute? There we go.
Your mic's on. You're just muted.
This is perfect.
There we go.
My man.
Oh, yeah. First time zooming, baby.
Nice.
Get at it. Really?
Right,
so
this is your first time using the Zoom?
First time.
He kind of froze up.
I can't tell if that's me or not.
What?
No, it's yeah. Don't worry about it. He'll come back in. We'll get this rolling.
It's technology. It's what we had to deal with the whole back end of 2020. So what do we call you, Mr. Tombstone? Do we call you Mr. Jesus? What's the proper?
You know, everybody calls me Tombstone.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Everybody calls me Tombstone. So you guys call me whatever you like, but just don't call me late for dinner.
Nice.
No, all bullshit aside. Now, everyone calls me Tombstone, Tombstone Jesus. Doing a little heel run, going as Tombstone Judas now and again. Having fun with that. So,
are you having fun with this guy who may or may not be your son, Otto von Clutch? Because I've been following what's been going on in the life of Tombstone lately. And I got some questions. I got to know the story.
All right. This is the way it went down. I'm in a 5-on-5 match about 2 years ago in Salt Lake City. And Devotion Championship Wrestling booked Otto von Clutch, and he was on the other – in the other 5-on-5, he was on the –
Yeah, we kind of lost him. Don't worry, he'll come back. He'll come back. We're talking to the Tombstone. This
I know.
Is awesome.
I'm very excited about this.
One way, then I'd move the other. He'd move the other. And next thing I know, he screams out, "Dad, you're my dad." And I'm like, "What the hell?" And he's all, Dad, that's my dad, everybody. And I'm like, "Bullshit. No, I'm not." And he's like, "Yes, you are. No, I'm not." And we went back and forth and back and forth. And I ended up beating him, sending him on his way. And about 2 months later, I'm at a show. And he shows up with the microphone. and going on and on again. You're my dad. You're my dad. And, you know, I thought it was all a joke. And then he dropped his mom's name. And he dropped, you know, 1989 in Los Angeles, California. And so I'm like, well, all right, this could actually be a possibility. So I told him, look, kid, if you think you're my son, if you're tough enough, you got enough of the old man's DNA in you.
Oh, no, we lost him again. Don't worry, he'll come back.
I know he will.
Here he is.
You guys there? Did you lose me?
We lost you just a little bit after when you were putting the 1989 together. That was a possibility.
Right. So, I mean, it turns out, looks like this kid could be mine. So I told him, look, you know, we need to settle this like everything in the world should be settled in the ring, right? So, you know, I tell him, look, if you got enough of the old man's DNA, you can beat me. You can actually beat me. I'll submit to a DNA test. And so we had the first ever DNA match in Salt Lake City. And I won the match. I beat him. And the kid, he's, you know, he hits like a freight train. I'll give it to him. He's a tougher than hell. But I beat him. Well, I'm done. I'm getting ready to celebrate. I'm trying to move my way on out of the ring. And in comes his mother out of nowhere. She grabs a mic and starts jopping and yopping. And I haven't even seen this woman in like 29 years. Well, she hops in the ring and starts beating the shit out of me, dude. I mean, lighting me up. Right.
So he's getting beat up by a woman.
Son of a bitch.
There had to have been a million "this is wrestling" chants.
I want to know if he hit her back.
They should have like a DNA results on a pole match.
Look, if you get in the ring and you're flapping your gums.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Tombstone.
I love how he prefaced it. That's how whole thing.
Yeah, we're still here, Tombstone. We got you.
Oh, we're not going. You think we're going somewhere?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with the fucking internet here.
You're good.
You guys still got me?
We got you. You're good. So look, she gets
so his mom gets in the ring. She starts beating the shit out of me. My wife's at the merch table, guys. My wife, she don't never have nothing to do with wrestling aside from selling these t-shirts and stuff right here. Here she sees Otto's mom in there beating the hell out of me. My wife gets in the ring, and those two end up going at a cat fight, man.
Cat fight!
It's Jerry Springer right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whole place is chanting Springer, Springer. I'm here, watching my wife and Otto's mom going to town.
I wonder if we take him off a video, it might help him out a bit.
I want one of those pink hats.
I want Tombstone merch. That's what I want.
So, damn it, I think I lost you again. You there, Tony?
We are here. We are here, Tombstone. I don't know if it might be easier if you want to cut the video for now. Maybe that might help.
Yeah, let me see if it'll help. Sorry about this.
No worries, my friend.
I've had so many damn issues. I don't even know where I got cut off on this story.
Let's try.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
We got you loud and clear, my man.
All right. In comes the cat fight. All right. Otto's mom and my wife are going at it. I'm watching the whole thing go down. I don't know what the hell to think. And Otto hits me with one of those goddamn kicks and knocks me out. Well, Otto brought in a nurse from L.A. and they cut a lock of my hair and they actually stole my DNA.
Son of a bitch.
Dirty.
Right. So I'm hotter than hell over that.
He don't look like you, Tombstone.
You know, he's the kid's got a lot of his mom's looks.
I don't think cutting the video helped.
These are the challenges we face when we have to
do. That's where me and the kid really butt heads.
Was that in the you had some sort of therapeutic match where you guys were going rounds for 5 minutes, beating the crap out of each other and then actually talking to each other for a minute apiece?
Right. So he disappears with my DNA. Comes out a few months later. Sure enough, I'm the father. He's put my DNA in some kind of DNA bank. And for all I know, I'm going to have kids popping up every month now. But that's another story. So turns out I got a kid 8 years younger than me. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? We look into it, and I guess I knocked up the babysitter. So
that is
what it is.
Tombstone Jesus.
All jokes aside, though, the little son of a bitch stole my DNA, and then turns out he is my kid. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little proud that I had a son. You know, he became a wrestler on his own. We kind of had that in common.
Do you want to shoot Tombstone over the?
He's only got about 10 of them, so we got a whole shitload of ass whoopings to go. And I figure when I get done giving them all his ass whoopings, then his mom can pay me for the upbringing he finally gets. yeah, we ended up, you know, we butt heads. He don't live too far from me, and we've kind of been trying to connect a little, and you know, I kind of love to hate him. But we booked in Barstow, California, Destination 6. Great company, great wrestling company. We had the first ever Growing Pains match.
This
was a 60-minute time limit, and we had 5-minute rounds followed by 2-minute therapy session where each wrestler gets to speak for a minute. And you guys, it's on YouTube. It blew up on Facebook, and then later they put it on YouTube. You got to check it out. We beat the shit out of each other, and then we get a
you think it might work, Matt, if we get him the phone number so you can call in?
I can try and pass that along. I got to find all that shit, Tone.
Yeah, let me. I think I could copy pasta to you. Hold on.
Right now, I'm hoping I'd like to actually be able to try to coexist with this kid here, because when we're on. I've teamed up with the kid, and when we're clicking, we're clicking. And you know, I personally think that there's no team in the country that can beat us. When we got it going on, the question is, we'll probably end up, you know, beating the shit out of each other before we leave the arena. Because, you know, I can't travel with the kid. It's like Homer and Bart Simpson all day long with this guy. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. No one pushes my buttons like, you know, Junior. And he's my little bipolar bear, you know. I mean, he really is. You never know when this kid's going to flip out. And so it's, you know, I figure he's here to let me know that I'm human and I make mistakes. And there he is, one of my biggest mistakes.
I saw from your YouTube channel that that Tombstone Jesus isn't only a wrestler. He's actually quite a good musician. I was enjoying some of that mountain metal that you got going there. And did we lose him?
I'm going to shoot that message over.
Okay, yeah. It might be.
Dang, I lost you, Tony. You there, bud?
Yeah, Matt's actually going to send you a phone number. It might be easier for you just to call in. Maybe it'd be.
Let's do that. That would be great.
He's going to send it over to you now because there's so much more I want to get into. I want to know.
Yeah, let me stop this and send me that phone number. I'll be calling in.
He was going to send it to you right now, Tombstone. We'll get you back on in a minute.
All right, buddy.
Tombstone Jesus. Listen, These things happen.
You know, looks like internet is dead and buried down in Utah.
I'm telling you though, like no joke, that match they had at Destination 6, it's hysterical because they literally beat the shit out of each other, and then the bell rings after 5 minutes, and then they each take a minute and they like, I loved you, even though you weren't there for me. And
well, I mean, let's be honest, this is what wrestling is all about, right?
It's so hysterical. Like you would never, it's almost like when you see Roman Reigns talking shit to somebody in the ring now, where he's like, why do you keep getting up? You know, but it's more like, you weren't there for me.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man, he looks like a freaking badass.
Oh, he is. It's fucking amazing. I was in such a deep dive on Tombstone Jesus today. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic. And he's been around for a minute too. He had a YouTube series years ago. It's so great.
All right, great stuff to dive into.
I sent the info over. Hopefully he's able to call in.
Okay. Because I would love to finish talking.
Yeah,
to him
we haven't even scratched the surface on Tombstone Jesus.
Maybe this is heel Tombstone Judas. Maybe this is why we're not. Maybe he's healing us.
That's a good question to ask him. Good question to ask him.
Yeah, I'll leave that. I probably won't ask that question.
No, ask him.
Are you healing us, brother?
That's all. Is this a rib? You ribbing us?
Dude, what a. First of all, despite the choppiness of the story, that was a great story. The mother of his child and his wife got into a fight in a ring. And now his kid and him are having a growing pains match where they fight and then talk it out.
Can't make this shit up, dude. It's fine. I'm telling you, the video is on YouTube. It's about a 35-minute affair. It doesn't go to time limit, but it's fucking good stuff.
Yo, despite I don't care if you're a purist. I don't care if you're into the Gaga. Like, that's like a funny thing. Like, that's like a good concept and like kind of like something clearly, A, we've never seen before, unless, you know, you're just some Jamoku, you're in a wrestling match and you just get a mic on your own and just cut a promo. This had like a message. This had an idea behind it.
I do love how he's my buddy too. He's like, hey, Tony, you there?
Oh, Tony, it's all you, man. This is your BFF now, baby.
Here he comes. Let me see if I could.
I'm getting one of those hats.
Let me see. Tombstone, we got you, brother.
All right. Can you hear me?
We got you, my man. We got you. We're good
all
to go.
All right. God, sorry about that.
Don't ever apologize to us, Tombstone.
Yeah, please. Please. The mistake was probably on our end.
You guys are awesome. So where were we? What actually got through and what didn't?
I just want to know, how does this Destination 6 concept come about where you guys are going to wrestle and then have therapy with each other? Like, where does this idea come from? Because it's brilliant. I don't think I've ever heard of that before in wrestling.
You know, my kid is a smart, smart dude. He really is. And Otto came up with the idea.
Chip off the old block, huh?
He's a chip off the old block. He's a little piece of Tombstone genius. So,
oh God, so, I love that.
Yeah, he's good, man. And I love working with him. I'm proud of him. All jokes aside, he does. He drives me crazy. We're fighting in public constantly. But he's a good kid and I'm proud of him. He's got a lot of potential and, I plan on, you know, helping him go on his way. Really do.
I got to know what comes first. Does Tombstone Jesus, the wrestler, come, or does Tombstone Jesus, the musician, come first? Because I got to be honest with you, man. I've been checking out a lot of the music. I'm digging what I'm hearing.
Doesn't matter as long as he's coming.
I am the Mountain Metal Messiah, man, and I'm appreciate you guys checking out my music. There is a shit ton of wrestling fans that still have no idea that I'm a musician. And I appreciate you guys listening to my music and bringing it up. And I'll just tell you kind of the story of Tombstone Jesus. I got you guys there still?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, guys. So, you know, I was probably about 10 years old. And I think my school teacher told me, write down three things you want to be when you grow up. And I wrote down a pro football player, a pro wrestler, and a rock star. And my teacher told me these aren't realistic goals. And I told him, well, did you write down fifth grade teacher when you were a little boy? And he didn't care for that remark. And, you know, I stuck to it. And years later, here I am in life. I'm like a construction foreman. And I'm flashing back to what I wrote down on that paper. And it wasn't construction foreman. And so, you know, being a pro football player kind of came and went for me. At the time, I didn't know what type of avenue I would take to become a pro wrestler, but by God, I knew I could be a rock star. And so I started my band. And the way the name Tombstone Jesus came about is I used to drink a lot, guys. And honest to God, getting past my drinking's really what made Tombstone Jesus happen, because I was always the guy who had these big dreams. And I'd tear it up, partying all night, going on and on about all my dreams. I'd wake up the next morning with the headache and go to my day job, you know, nothing had ever come of it. And I've always been this guy in my head, you know, I've always been a wrestling champion. I've always been a rock star. I've always been everything I wanted to be in my head, you know, and that would really come out when I was partying. So I'm in the bar. I used to live in the mountains right in Utah, right there in Provo Canyon. It's in between Mount Timpanogos and a mountain called Cascade Mountain. And Robert Redford owns a ski resort right there by where I lived. And that was the closest watering hole. So that's where I'd go in, get my drink on every night. And when I'd walk in the door, the guys up there playing music would stop. And this is like late 90s, and a lot of guys weren't really rocking the full beard then, you know, and I had the full beard and I had the long hair. And I'd come walking in the bar and the guy'd stop playing music and he'd say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus just entered the building." And I'd be like, whatever, you know, and I'd leave and he'd stop. He'd say, "Hey, Jesus just left the building, you know." And so this went on for a couple years and everybody there's calling me Jesus because of my long hair and my beard. I didn't really care for it, but, you know, everyone's giving me beers. And after a while, you know, you just start answering. And I was a huge wrestling fan, guys, my whole life. I've just been a huge, huge borderline fanatic for sure. And I was a brawler, been a brawler my whole life. And up at the bar, when people get out of line, I'd be like, "Hey, know your role, shut your mouth. I'll come over there and tombstone your ass." And I was threatening to tombstone somebody in the bar, and my lead guitarist was in there with me, and he shouted out, "Tombstone Jesus." And I said, "Hey, that's it. That's my name." And he says, "Yeah, that's our band name." And I'm like, "That's going to be my wrestle name too." And so that's how I got the name Tombstone Jesus.
So how do you make the transition then from that point getting into wrestling? Like, how did you get?
So that's a great story in itself as well. And, you know, thoughts become things. You hear that corny saying, but it's so true. So I'm doing my music and I started my YouTube channel. And if you get on the YouTube channel and you go to some of those first videos, they're in black and white. And I was just kind of doing a little comedy monologue. And before I would do these videos, I would watch old Ric Flair promos because no one could get me fired up like Ric Flair. And I mean, I'm a huge, huge Flair fan, but for me, it's like, you know, from 1979 to about 1983, you know, for me, that is when Flair was just a man. And anyone out there, if you don't know, dial up some YouTube from that time period. And Ric Flair is the man, no doubt about it. And so I would watch these Flair promos almost daily, you know, and I'd do my YouTube videos and then I would, of course, we'd always practice, and I'm playing in the clubs in Salt Lake every weekend. And one night I'm doing a show and there's another band playing there, and their guitarist was really good. I mean, he may be one of the best guitarists, dare I say, in the country at the time. Super good. We got done with our set and he jumps up on the stage. He says, "Hey man, I want to join your band." And I'm like, "You got it, dude. You're hot. You're good. You're hired." And he's all, one other thing. He says, I'm a pro wrestler and nobody knows it because I wear a mask. He says, I think you'd be good at it. And I just said, you know, I've been waiting my whole life for that. Someone to tell me that. Let's do it, you know. And so that's how I got into pro wrestling. And so I made the transition from, you know, selling out the nightclubs in Salt Lake to selling out the wrestling shows. And it's just been a dream come true for me. And I just really can connect with the people. And, you know, something that surprised me was how much the little ones, how much I connect with the little kids. They just love Tombstone Jesus, you know, and I can't complain. So once I got into wrestling, being in a band was a pain in the ass, dude. I mean, now I'm doing everything I want to do. I'm just a loving it. And all I got to do is show up with my gear. And having a rock band and being the guy who's got to kind of be the team leader and shit, it is a pain in the ass. And any musician out there who has a band will tell you it's a lot of work. So, I mean, I definitely plan on getting back to my music when I'm all done with wrestling. But wrestling by far is my favorite thing to do.
We are on the line with Tombstone Jesus at Tombstone Jesus on social media. Make sure you're following him. Check out his YouTube page. Make sure you subscribe. The metal, the mountain metal is fucking awesome. It's got a great sound, great vibe, great feel to it. We played it during our commercials while I did the Patreon read, so definitely check it out. You talk about your wrestling career, and you got to work with Vince Russo, and there's actually a great picture of him rocking your Tombstone Jesus t-shirt. How did that relationship with Vince Russo come about?
Well, it's Manny Lemons, and so, you know, I gotta drop Manny's name. He was the one who pretty much made Devotion Championship Wrestling happen. And, you know, a few years ago, wrestling down there died here in Utah. And a couple years ago, Manny reached out to me. He was starting a new company. I've seen a lot of these companies come and go. And he kind of told me this one's going to be different. I couldn't make the first show, and the second show they had, I made that show. And, I mean, we sold out. It was just packed. And he's never looked back. But Manny, through his persistence, has been the one who's really made things happen for wrestling in Utah through Devotion Championship Wrestling. And Manny's the one who reached out and got Vince to get on board with us. And so for me, guys, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, I'm a little older. Obviously, Otto's my son. Well, I don't age in mortal years. I age in badass years. And in badass years, I'm about 23 years old. I'm just peaking. And the AK-47's my blood type. It runs through my veins. My son's got the same blood. And kicking people's ass, that's what we do. Well, growing up, I told you, you know, I mean, I grew up watching wrestling in the 80s, you know, I mean, Ric Flair, the Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, of course. When Hulk Hogan first got into wrestling, I mean, when he first hit the AWA, I'll never forget, I saw that first interview, and Mean Gene, I mean, Hogan just had his back to the camera. He was just this mountain. I don't even think he even turned around that first interview. And I was just like, wow. So for me, all that wrestling, being able to be influenced by wrestling in the 80s when we had the characters that were just larger than life, and I got to enjoy all of that, but it peaked in the Attitude Era for me, okay? And so for me, the highlight of wrestling in my life was like Stone Cold and The Rock and Mankind, The Rock and Song, all that shit, and it was Vince Russo, you know? And so when I got an opportunity to work with Vince Russo, you know, I'm like pinching myself. And I can't tell you what a cool guy he is and how approachable he is and just what a down-to-earth genius he is as well. And it's an honor to have, you know, Vince Russo. He writes and produces our show. Guys, it's on Fight TV. We're on Amazon Prime as well. and of course YouTube, Devotion Championship Wrestling. Check it out. Written and produced by Vince Russo, and the guy's just a stud.
You can follow them at DCW Salt Lake City every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Fight TV. The music and the wrestling. You said you're going to go back to doing the music when your wrestling career is over, but do you balance both? I know there's that video for Sasquatch that's out there, which is really a lot of fun, and the music is awesome. Do you find time to do both? I guess with the pandemic, you haven't been able to wrestle as much as you usually are.
Got when I first started wrestling, I did both, and I would actually book shows on the same night that I wrestled, just to get them both done in the same night. So I'd be up on the stage sweating it out, belting out my Mountain Metal like an hour after I got out of the ring, you know, beating the shit out of somebody. And it just got to be a little too much for me, to where I like to just focus on the wrestling now. I've got like about three full albums of recorded music out there. There's a lot on YouTube, but there's a whole lot I haven't released. And one cool thing about music, I mean, look at the Stones, look at Ozzy. I mean, you can do it for a long time, guys. So aging in badass years, I figured I got another 10 years. I'd like to make a run, a tag team run with my son. I feel like when me and Otto are on the same page and clicking, I don't think there's a team in the country that can beat us. So when the pandemic, when things get finally under control where we can hit the road and perform in front of people, that's really what I'm looking forward to doing here in the good old US of A. And definitely going to get back to the music a few years down the road. And yeah, I just love it both. I can't complain. It's good being Tombstone Jesus.
Hell yeah, it is. Tombstone Jesus. Let me, you know about this Nick Stapp guy out here on the East Coast causing a little ruckus on Twitter? He's been calling you out, apparently.
Who's this bitch ass punk? What?
Exactly. Who is this guy?
He's this guy. I got to find it. Someone, there we go. This guy, Nick Stapp. He's from the Off the Hop Rope podcast. I guess he wants to tangle with Tombstone Jesus.
I don't think he called him out per se as much as he wanted to wrestle him out of respect.
All right. I like that. So is this guy a wrestler or is he a mark? What's the deal here?
You could call him a wrestler.
He's got some years in the business. He trained in Long Island, New York, under
Yeah, I would love to lock up with this guy. Get some promoter somewhere in the Midwest, somewhere where East can meet West, right in the middle. Let me beat the shit out of this guy.
Tombstone Jesus, I'm not gonna lie to you. He's not the only one. I got another guy, another New Yorker named Jay George. Jay George wants a piece, or I don't know if he wants a piece. He wanted to get in touch with Tombstone Jesus as well. So
I would love to wrestle these guys. I would love to. If I got to come out on the East Coast, come on out here. Like I said, let's meet in St. Louis, Chicago. Make it happen. You know that video that blew up on Twitter, it was funny because I hadn't been on Twitter in about 12 years, but the American Giant out there in Florida started calling me out, started talking some shit, started causing up a big scene on Facebook, and that's how that match got booked. And we brought it up, let a couple promoters decide who wanted to go ahead and book the fight, and it happened. These guys out on the East Coast, they want to whoop up a little bit of hype, try to make something happen. Let's do it.
Well, I'll tell you this. We know the two guys that have made these comments very well. They're very good professional wrestlers. You are also a very good professional wrestler and one tough SOB. So if this could happen, oh my God, that would be incredible. Nick Stapp and or Jay George would be incredible, right?
Guys, let's set it up. Let's hype it up. Let's make it happen. I'd love to lock up with both these guys.
I'm almost 100% sure that Nick Stapp does have some history with Vince Russo, so this might be a possibility.
Oh.
Ah. All right. I'm going to have to reach out to this guy for sure. If he's got a history with Vince, then yeah, let's talk. Maybe he could get booked out here in Utah.
Oh, that would be so amazing.
What?
Hell yeah.
You mentioned it before briefly. What is the wrestling landscape looking like out there? You said it was almost dead and gone before DC.
Devotion.
Yeah,
Devotion Championship Wrestling, DCW. So, I mean, there was a few companies out here. A few had come and gone. One had kind of been sputtering along. And, of course, we had Vegas close by and Denver and whatnot. But like I say, about 2 years ago, things were just twiddling out. And then Manny came in and got things going again. And now, I mean, wrestling in Utah is red hot, red hot. Our crowds, let me tell you, the crowds here in Utah are some of the best crowds in the world. I mean, they're great. The fans here are great. And you can see that in that video on that tweet.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. You've got – it's huge. As soon as you start making your entrance, the people just come to their feet. It's insane. Not only the crowd in general for the shows, but just for you, Tombstone. I mean, my goodness.
That's why the boys in the back call me the Michael Jackson of wrestling, because I'm the king of pop. And that ain't no shit.
That's so good.
It's not Tombstone. That's not very metal, though.
No, I know, but I'll take the king of pop. But you're right. You know, it's hard to kind of not get offended, you know, but we see where they're going with. So it's all good in the end. I'll take the king of pop for sure. But, you know, all jokes aside, really, I've just always been able to connect with the crowd, connect with the people. I mean, that guy walking out there in that video is just a guy walking out, shaking a few hands on the way to kick someone's ass, you know, and that's with Tombstone Jesus. There's no real gimmick. I mean, what you see is what you get. I've been called the, you know, Chuck Norris of pro wrestling.
Can we get your son some regular gear? Was he wrestling in like a scuba outfit or something?
That's his wetsuit. Yeah, he's a surfer. The kid's a damn surfer. He was a professional surfer before he started wrestling. He's a good surfer. He's supposed to take me out. We'll see if I drowned or not. I'm a snowboarder. I'm in the mountains. I haven't done a lot of surfing. But yeah, that's his wetsuit.
Okay.
And he's always barefoot. Let me tell you, that kid's kicks are lethal. I mean, he's got some wicked kicks. He's a tough son of a bitch.
Oh, I saw him, no doubt. But I mean, you snowboard, but you're not wrestling in your snowboard gear. I mean, come on, we got to get this guy some seriously. I mean, I think Tombstone's got to help him out, get him a pair of knee pads, maybe some, you know, some cowboy boots. You know what I'm saying? If he's going to be, he's your son. We got to get him in, you know, he's got to play the role. He's got to be your son.
You know who else?
Yeah, I don't know. He's put my cowboy hat on a couple times and he claimed it burned his head. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's part of the deal with him. You know, that's kind of, we're complete opposites in a lot of way. But on the inside, you know, we are the same. So, I mean, we're the dysfunctional function, man. That's us. A dysfunction function.
What's your junction?
No, the dysfunction junction. That's us. Sorry, Ben.
You know who else wore a scuba outfit, wetsuit? The Sandman. So that's not a bad career.
No shit.
What? Before he was the Sandman, he was a surfer.
Yeah, well, he
oh, my hell. I did not know that, and I love the Sandman.
Yeah, in the very early history of Eastern Championship Wrestling, he was he had a surfer gimmick, and of course he would come out to surf in USA, and you know, the Sandman played off the time at the beach, but you know, all it took was an attitude adjustment. Maybe, you know, because he's your kid, he gets an attitude adjustment, change up of the outfit. Maybe we got something rolling here. I don't know.
We'll see. The kid does what he wants, and it's kind of part of the odd couple with us. But I'm with you, man. I'd like to see him wearing a cowboy hat and I'd like to see him put on some wrestling trunks and shit, maybe even a cowboy boot or two would be looking good on him, but I don't see it happening.
That's the poster for you guys when you win the tag straps. You and your son, matching cowboy hats, matching boots, matching trunks. That's the vision I got in my head, Tombstone.
I like it. I like it.
It's free to take.
I tell you, if we ever was like that, that'd finally mean we was probably on the same page.
That would be awesome. That would be 100% awesome. You mentioned some changes in the wrestling scene before Devotion really started taking off. You spent some time in War, even as the Rocky Mountain champion. Are they still around? Are they still running? You still working with them?
No, they quit running, and I loved War. I got to work with Rhino. I got to work with Chris Masters. I got to work with Mr. Kennedy. War Wrestling Alliance of the Rockies made so many of my dreams come true, and they really was the platform that helped make the legend of Tombstone Jesus. And they kind of quit doing things, I want to say about 2017. And I'd love to see them get started up again, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's unfortunate too, because especially in this time, you know, there's not a lot of promotions that are running, you know, even close to a part-time schedule. But it's nice to see that, you know, at least even in the latter part of 2020, that Tombstone Jesus is still having the opportunity to kick some ass.
Oh, in front of a live crowd. I mean, we've been really fortunate out here in Salt Lake. I mean, we got the social distancing and the masks, and everyone's getting their temperature taken, and we're jumping through all the hoops, and it's sure nice to have a crowd. You know, I did some work without a crowd and done some things for the internet and stuff, and we give 120% no matter what, don't get me wrong, but it sure is great to have the energy of the fans there.
In going through your YouTube channel, and I've watched a lot more Tombstone Jesus in the past couple of days, but something I kept coming across was the Metal Mamas. Does Tombstone Jesus have a harem we need to know about?
Well, I did tell you I knocked up my babysitter when I was 8, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Tombstone Jesus is happily married, thank God. Like I say, my wife, luckily I ran into my wife, and she's been taking good care of me. Like I say, she's the one who fought Otto's mom right in the ring last year, you know, and she left the merch table. She's never really wanted to be a part of it, but when it came time to have my back, she did. And then actually, just a few episodes ago, she hit old Otto right in the nuts. That made me happy too. So, but yeah, I got the queen. I've been married for a few years now, and the Mountain Metal Mamas are out there. They're not my harem, but the merch is there for them, brother. Nice. And at the beginning of the show, before the video screwed up, you guys seen I had a lot of that merch around me, and it's there, people. Come get your Tombstone Jesus gear. We got hats, we got shirts, we got tank tops, we got little sexy tops for the ladies, the Mountain Metal Mamas. So hit me up on my Facebook Messenger, Tombstone Jesus. Hit me up on Twitter. We're rolling on Twitter now, finally. I think I'm up to about 60 followers. So yes, Guys, follow me over there. And Tombstone Jesus is on Instagram as well. And anyone out there wants some of that merch, get a hold of me. We'll ship it out to you.
Definitely.
Be the first one on your block rocking Tombstone Jesus merch.
I'm pretty sure I'm getting a hat as soon as we get off the air. And as heartfelt as that story about your wife and everything is, I think the thing that we're going to be taking away from this interview the most is the fact that you knocked up your babysitter at 8 years old.
So, oh, man. I probably should have kept that one to myself. But
Tombstone. That's the clickbait, Tombstone. That's the headline.
Well, guys, I'm surprised there hasn't been. Usually when I get on a podcast, if people can call in, I get a few, Daddy, is that you? So luckily there is no callers. You guys will probably have to check your comments. And that's kind of the joke. I mean, once my DNA hit that database, kids have been popping up about every 2 weeks.
Wait, where were you in November of 1983?
Oh, no.
83? I was back on the East Coast.
Uh-oh. Wait a second.
I was in the Philly area, Philly area. I was feeling all the Phillies.
Uh-oh, wait a second. I lived back in that time. Not lived, but yeah? Right in that like 84 area, 85, in South Jersey, Hamilton, New right Jersey. On.
Was your mom like a Boston fan?
You know what, yes. Tombstone?
Yes.
Well, was she I hate to say it, Bon Jovi fan?
Oh, all of the above. She was a boss.
Ran across each other at a rock festival or something. You never know.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have to talk about this off the air.
Bro, just throw your DNA into a, I think, 23andMe data bank. And if you get the golden ticket, it'll tell you you're 50% AK-47.
I think I'm 100% AK.
Well, I don't know. That'd mean that I did my sister, so that wouldn't work out.
Well, if you hear me talk for more than 5 minutes, that makes a whole lot of sense. But,
oh my God.
Hey, you could be one of mine. Just know the deal. You don't get no money, you get ass whoopings.
All right. Well, I'll have to get a surfer suit.
I like that.
You ain't worried about all these women coming after you for alimony?
Well, it depends on how old the kid is. You know, I'm pretty safe. I'm pretty safe. There shouldn't be any more of them running around under 18. Let's just say that.
I was going to say, how long you been slinging that dick, bro?
I told you I age in badass years. That's all you need to know.
I knocked up
my babysitter when I was 8.
That's right. What would make a more entertaining wrestling match? You kind of did the whole DNA thing. Would it be like the DNA results on a pole match, or would it be alimony on a pole match? What would be
alimony on the pole match? I'll tell you, that's where it gets real right there.
Yep.
You know, when he started complaining about the back child support, I was like, you little son of a. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, back child support on a pole match, that could be something. I don't know. I just I don't know if I want to risk it, guys.
What Tombstone, whatever you, please don't let Vince Russo put your mother on a pole, though. Don't none of that mother on a pole match.
Hey, Vince is the man. I'll tell you, if he writes it, we'll do it.
Dude, Vince Russo will put a child support on a pole match or a DNA results on a pole match. I love it.
Oh, I tell you, he's a genius. When I just felt like, you know, with Vince, I mean, it's like handing Michelangelo a nice piece of clay. Here you go.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like it is with Vince Russo, with our wrestlers. You know, it's like, you know, we're in good hands.
I like it.
You're doing that Mountain Metal, Tombstone Jesus. What is like your dream? You could do get on stage and headline a festival with like 3 bands. What bands are you playing with?
Oh man. Oh shit.
It's not an easy question.
Well, like for me, Mountain Metal, all right, first of all, Mountain Metal. Leonard Skinner meets Motorhead. Okay. That's it. Mountain Metal right there. So Leonard Skinner and Motorhead is definitely going to be 2 of those bands. Now the third band, oh my God, guys. I mean, I'm a big music guy, so shit.
You You do a little Molly. I'm probably going to say
the Beatles. You guys are shit, but I'm going to say the Beatles.
Wow. No, that's a good call. That's absolutely a good call. Nothing wrong with that one.
It's an interesting lineup.
If you listen to Mountain Metal, there's a little bit of Beatles in there, too. There really is.
Nothing wrong with that call at all.
So you mentioned all those guys you got to work with, Rhino, Chris Masters. Is there anyone is there anyone out there growing up as a wrestling fan that you've gotten the opportunity to share a locker room with, or better yet, get in the ring with, that you just sort of like, this is a dream come true?
Well, God, Rhino right off the bat. So, I mean, the first big name that I got to wrestle with was Rhino, and me and him teamed up and main evented a big show here, packed house. I think, guys, it isn't my video, but I think if you just like search on YouTube, Tombstone Jesus, then Rhino and Utah, it'll probably come right up. And it was a great, great match. And I mean, the guy was just such a professional and such a cool guy. But I was a huge ECW guy. And so when Rhino hit the scene, man, goring everybody and throwing women through tables and just, oh my hell. So I was a huge Rhino fan. And that for me, you know, was my first really big match with a big name. And yeah, I was pinching myself then. But again, Chris Masters, I mean, meeting Chris too. I mean, there's another guy. Some of these guys, like, so I was in the gym in Salt Lake City, I want to say about 1988, 1989, and the WWF at the time was in town, and the Ultimate Warrior was in my gym. And I remember looking at that guy in real life, you know, standing next to him, actually looking in the mirror at myself next to him, and just, oh my God, you really got to stand next to someone like that to really appreciate just the physique on this guy, right? Well, that's how it was when I met Chris Masters as well. It was just on another level where you just kind of got to step back and go, wow. And what a cool dude, taught me so many things. And then again, I mean, Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Anderson, that was awesome as well. So not only did I get to share a locker room with these guys, but I got to wrestle with them. And so, yeah, man, I can't complain.
So you said you're a big
ECW. Guys, I just had a match with Glacier.
Oh, fucking Glacier. A.
And it was fucking awesome. That dude is so cool. Come out to Salt Lake City just a couple months ago, and I got to be against him. It was him and Manny Lemons versus me and my dark missionary we got going on. And anyways, that was awesome too. And I mean, so when he came out, when he hit the scene, you know, with that Sub-Zero gimmick and that huge push they gave him, I loved that guy. It was awesome.
Did blood run cold when you were in the ring with him?
It got cold. I'll tell you, I'm glad I didn't have to eat one of those kicks.
So, you're a big ECW guy. Do you recognize Do you recognize WWECW, or do you think it's a hunk of horse shit like I think it is?
I never recognized any of that bullshit. All I did is every ECW pay-per-view they ever had before they started really collaborating with the other companies. I mean, that's where it was at, dude. And back then we had this little cable box. I swear you could like put a little card in it or something, and we did all the pay-per-views for free. And I mean, I never missed an ECW pay-per-view, and they were, I mean, to this day, I think it's just still the best.
Yeah. Did you ever get an opportunity to come out to the East Coast and go to an ECW show or visit the arena?
No. Oh, I wish. Oh no, I wish. No, that would have been something.
Yeah, we went to a few shows. It wasn't everything it was cracked up to be.
You're so full of shit.
Of course I'm full of shit. It was awesome.
How could it not be everything it's cracked up to be? I mean, all you guys are going to do there live and see some more cool shit that maybe didn't get, the camera didn't catch. I mean.
And it just seemed like every time you were there, something special happened. I remember I was at the show where Shane Douglas grabbed Gary Wolf by the halo and threw him down. You really felt like 1,000 people were going to rush the ring and just murder Shane Douglas. The heat there was insane.
Dude, when they were coming out with that triple threat shit, throwing the threes up in the air and they're playing that Deep Purple song. Oh my God. It was so badass.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Perfect Strangers. They'd come out too. I still get goosebumps. Just that was such a badass entrance. It was like him and Candido. And I think Francine had come out.
Yep. And Bam Bam Bigelow too. Jersey guy.
Yes, yes, yes. Bam Bam.
When you're playing and you're on stage, is there wrestling music in the set for the night? Have you played any themes?
No, I don't do any cover tunes. All I've ever done is original songs that I've written, and you know, I've got a song called "Kick the Shit Out of You." And it's on YouTube. You can find it, and it's kind of a wrestling tune that I've written. But no, I've never done any wrestling theme songs or anything like that. But I did a couple shows where I got to get up and play on the stage, and then when I got done, I'd set the microphone down and go down and get in the ring and wrestle, and that was cool. I'd like to do more of that.
So I would assume you would prefer being on stage first and then getting in the ring.
Right. Absolutely. Get out, play my Sasquatch song live, and then finish it out, run down the ring and kick someone's ass. That'd be a fun time.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
If somebody's listening to this Tombstone Jesus, they're not familiar with you or your music, they want to check out some Mountain Metal, what's one Tombstone Jesus song they should listen to?
You know, the song that everyone loves is Sasquatch. It's not on YouTube. It's kind of not on there for a reason for now. But you guys have seen it in my entrance video, and anyone can check it out in my videos on Tombstone Jesus, Facebook. You'll find it there. But as far as YouTube goes, for sure, and you guys were playing that song earlier, The Railroad Car. I have a lot of people tell me that that's not just their favorite Tombstone Jesus song, but it's their favorite song. And definitely check out The Railroad Car. If you get on my Tombstone Jesus channel, you know, I haven't done a lot of videos there for a while, but click on uploads and there's like 85, 90 videos. And you can fall down the rabbit hole, but one thing you gotta fucking check out, guys, is the Dr. Tombstone video. It's a comedy where I play a doctor. Watch it all the way to the end. I promise you're gonna love it.
I saw it already, Tombstone. 100% agree. It's awesome stuff.
Right on. But yeah, I mean, The Railroad Car, the Kick the Shit Out of You, there's some live video, some live music. And check it all out, guys. But know this, we'll be getting a little album coming out here pretty soon. A little fan friendly thing that we can sell.
I can't wait.
So look for that.
My favorite right now is Shake That Ass.
Oh yeah, brother.
I played that
Let me tell you, 20 times.
I love that song.
Bro. So we used to rehearse in this studio we rented out, and one of our rehearsal days was Sunday, and we would rehearse for like 6 hours, but we would always take lunch midway through it at the local titty bar. Nice. And that song got written on Sundays when it was time to go eat lunch, go have our steak and eggs. I'd start playing Shake That Ass, and that's how that evolved into that tune. And that's one of my favorite tunes too, man. I love that song.
Tombstone Jesus, we have somebody called in. They wanted to talk to you. Mr. Torment?
Torment. No. Oh yeah, that's right. The artist formerly known as J. George, I'm proud to announce as of today, I will be performing under the name Torment. And this is going to be my new character that I'm going to be doing for professional wrestling. Well, Torment, I don't like to think of it as a character. I like to think that this is finally who I am, the master of pain and torment.
Well, you're on the line with Tombstone, and we understand you have a question for him.
I don't listen. Well,
talk to me, brother.
We had a little interaction on the Twitter. As soon as I saw this guy walk out, the crowd's going crazy. There's a live marching band there, correct?
No, I had a bass player and a drummer there.
That played throughout the match, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But brother, yes. I didn't even see the match up until I just saw the entrance at first, and I was already sold on everything about Tombstone Jesus.
Thank you, my man. Thank you.
And I'm petitioning right now over at Creator Pro to try to get you to come in, so you could be like my Diesel. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like in a lot of ways we're cut from the same cloth, my man, and maybe in some ways we aren't, you know what I'm saying? But regardless of the fact, I know that when Tombstone Jesus is in town, things are about to go down.
That's a fact, brother. That is a fact, and the bookers know it, so let them know. I mean, you guys want to have a solid show, book Tombstone Jesus. We'll make it happen.
So I was just wondering, do you have any survival skills?
Well, you know, I got my bear claw necklace, right?
Right.
So my bear claw necklace, I killed the bear with my bare hand.
Hell yeah, dude. This is what I'm talking about. Yes.
Okay. My right hand, and I got my left hand and my right hand. My left hand's my left hand. My right hand's my bare hand. Okay.
All right.
And that same bare hand smacked a few bare asses.
Yes, dude. Okay. Fantastic. So in other words, all you're saying is all you need right here is all you need is that right hand, the bare hand.
Pretty much my bare hand. Like I was telling these guys, I age in badass years, not in normal human mortal years.
Right.
In badass years, I'm peaking at about 23 years of age.
Hell yeah.
And my blood type's AK-47.
How many?
And my fans are tombstoners.
Yes, sir.
And the AK-47, it runs through them as well.
How many miles per hour are you going?
Fuck.
Yeah, right?
Fucking 20, bro, right?
Hell yes. Okay. Now this is what I'm saying, man. This is exactly what I'm saying.
So this is a marriage. One way or the other, we have to get you guys together at some point.
Oh, Torment. We gotta bring Tombstone out here. I don't think there's any other way to do this, right?
Oh no, you don't, come on. Torment gets booked in Utah.
Okay, I'll find my way out there. Why not? If not, we'll meet in South Dakota.
Damn. Yeah. I like
St. Louis is a fighting town, man. Let's meet in St. Louis.
So I've been in and out today. So I've been trying to catch as much of the interview as possible. I don't know if you guys saw a little bit of the backstory of how long you've been in the business and stuff. Just a little curious.
About 12 years.
Right on. Dude, yeah. You. Jesus Christ, dude. This guy, bro, you could tell me, listen.
I think Torment is starstruck. I love
it. I am
it.
A little bit. Are you kidding me?
I love it.
Yeah.
He sent me a DM in Facebook. I need to talk to Tombstone. And I'm like,
hey, brother, you're a tombstoner now.
Yeah.
Dude, Tombstone and Torment, like Diesel and HBK, HB Torment. Oh,
that's what
God.
I'm saying, man. Are you kidding me?
That's money. That's money everywhere.
So geez, all right. What are you riding a bike or what? You ride a motorcycle or no?
Yeah, I got a motorcycle. I ride it around a little bit. I'm mostly running the desert, dude. I live out here about couple hours outside of Vegas, down here in the desert, and I mean I just lift thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And when I'm not doing that, I'm running in the desert, bro.
running from rattlesnakes.
When I'm not doing that, I'm playing mountain metal and kicking people's ass.
This is exactly why, to me, Tombstone Jesus works, because when I saw you walk out, dude, you look like you've just been out fucking meditating in the desert for a couple hours or doing whatever you're doing out there. And then someone said, hey, man, there's a show tonight. We need you. And then you're just walking in out the desert. Like you weren't that wasn't even your wrestling gear. This is what you're doing out in the desert. And you're just legit walking out from the desert in through those doors. And the people know what's about to go down, because fucking Tombstone Jesus is in the house. And that, and they felt that energy. That, like you said, the rush of adrenaline when someone holds an AK-47 to your face is that same rush that people get when they see Tombstone Jesus. Cause that's all that runs in your fucking veins, man. And I respect it. You a fan of your whiskey guy or what?
You know, I don't drink. Okay. Tombstone Jesus had to quit drinking. I was telling these right guys on. I was a big drinker, mm-hmm. and I haven't drank for about 20 years. And when I did drink whiskey, you just call the fucking cops right now.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So, Torment, are we going to get in touch with Tombstone? Are we going to make this happen?
Yeah, man. I follow him on the Twitter, you know.
Awesome.
Torment, go on my YouTube channel and find the Alcohol Treaty of 01, and you will learn the story of how and why I quit drinking, and I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, I think we're good with Torment, huh?
Hell yeah.
I appreciate it. I just found that video. I'm going to pull it up and want to give it a watch, man. It was a pleasure talking to you, man, and our paths will cross.
I like it. Hey, keep training, bro. We'll make it happen. Reach out to me.
Yes sir. Sounds good, man.
That's awesome.
All right, buddy, take care
guys. Right.
Thanks, hey, Torment. George,
thank you.
Later, Torment.
Mr. Tombstone, before we wrap up this party, it's been an absolute honor and a pleasure, and we would love to have you back on the podcast.
100%
anytime,
please, and let me get this damn Zoom thing all worked out so I can stay on the video. You know, the Tombstoners deserve to see me.
And I think you're going to be getting a few orders for merchandise, so please be ready with watching the DMs for that.
Yeah, guys, just reach out to me, and you guys will get a discount. So,
love that.
That's awesome. You don't have to do that, sir, but thank you so much for that.
Hell yeah.
And your shirt went into the mail today, Mr. Tombstone. You should be seeing Shining yeah. Wizard shirt soon.
Stretching that out. I'll be promoting the hell out of it, bro.
Awesome.
Follow Tombstone at Tombstone Jesus on all forms of social media. Check out his YouTube page, Tombstone Jesus. All the tunes are up there. Like Tony said before, he's got a little YouTube channel, some comedy, some mountain metal. Oh yeah, Tombstone Jesus does it all, Kevin.
Oh right,
and a jack of all trades and a master of all of them. 100%.
There we go,
Tombstone. Before we let you run, anything you want to leave the folks with that are watching and listening out there?
Guys, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, Tombstone Jesus. Definitely sub to my channel, and just keep an ear out because. You know, talk to your local promoter for that matter and get in his ear. Tell him you want to see Tombstone Jesus. And when these crowds start being able to come together again, I want to come entertain you.
Awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Just followed on the Instagram, buddy.
Awesome. Yeah, let's get this up for Tombstone, people. Come on.
Hey, follow my son, Otto Von Clutch, as well. Maybe. He's a little shit, but follow him.
Yeah, tell him to get some gear to match his old man. Come on.
And subscribed. There you go.
Tombstone, this has been an absolute pleasure, brother. Like I said, you got an open invitation. Anytime you want to come back on, we'll reach out to you. We'll get this thing going back together, man. This was an absolute blast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Proud to be on the Wizards, man. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Be well, too, Tombstone. Brother. Be well. Good, brother.
Peace.
Yeah. Bye.
Tombstone Jesus, everyone.
God, what a great
Kevin?
Interview.
Kev.
Hold on, Tony. Hold on, wait. Hold on. Tony. Top five.
Yes! Yes!
And this might not be hyperbole. this might not be hyperbolic. This might actually be top five.
Fucking A, dude. That was awesome.
Love nothing more than to get him back on with his Zoom working, because I think that would be awesome. He was awesome. That was such a great chat.
I'm getting a hat, by the way.
I'm getting a shirt, bro. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll rock a Tombstone Jesus t-shirt. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for listening to the show. If you watch this live, chat it up in the Facebook. We appreciate you. Follow Tombstone Jesus at Tombstone Jesus. Special thanks to Jay George at Jay George on the
Who?
Torment at Jay George.
Give him a follow. Check him out. Hopefully we can get that Jay George Tombstone collision somewhere in the Midwest.
I think I'd rather see them work together, to be honest with you.
Ooh. You know what? The two of them against CPA and that other guy that he's with, the nerdy guy, the Breakfast Club guy.
Oh, they're not together. They're not a team anymore.
It's all right. We'll get them back together one night only. Whatever.
CPA needs a heater.
Ooh. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get somebody for CPA. Because CPA's got that Vince Russo connection. Russo's got heat with CPA.
He's Nick Stapp now. He's no longer CPA.
Well, he's got heat with fucking the former CPA.
Follow us on all forms of social media at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Check out our pro wrestling tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Wizards Podcast or Shining Wizards. One of the two, Shining Wizards. And we each have individual shirts. You have the Uncle Creepy Matt shirt. You have the Fake News Tony shirt. You got Shining Wizards Kevin Wolfpack style. Join the pack. Guys, I'll be back doing stand-up comedy. The world is opening up. Bookings are flooding in. So please check out your vaccination, boy. March 18th is the first one I got coming up in Morristown, New Jersey. I'll plaster it all over all of our social media. And follow Tony. Follow Matt. Drop your handles, baby.
And next week, Big Tony Z on the Twitter. Next week, I will have a date for the Celebration of Tony show.
Oh, and next week, Vince Averill from We Watch Wrestling is joining us.
Yes.
That's a big get, boys.
That's a huge get. So we'll be talking New Japan and WWE and all things wrestling. We'll see y'all next week.
Yes, thanks for staying with us for 3 hours, folks.
Immortal!